It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 26th day of January, 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go, of course, if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which the program is live Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round. Hi, I'm Robin, and it's prayer meeting Wednesday. It absolutely is. And we'll see if maybe there'll be some prayer meeting Wednesday material along the way. But there's other sort of more pressing news to deal with in the way of the doings of the day. And we'll get to as much as we possibly can. Okay? With that in mind, every program here at The Horn begins, of course, with gratitude, and this program is no different. So for our 26th day of the month subscribers, we send out thanks. Profound thanks to Ralphs. Thank you, Ralphs. And Ralphs is our lone subscriber for the 26th day of the month. And remember, thanks to Zed, there is a challenge on the table to bring... I already announced the date. It is the 26th day of January, 2022. Zed provided a challenge, and we've got four new subscribers who can have their first month's subscription doubled between now and the end of January. And the fundraising goal stands at $543. Thanks very kindly for everybody who knocked down Rico's challenge. Thank you so very much indeed. And hopefully we'll knock out some more of that as the evening wears on. Very few reruns on this network. Now Joe Vecchio, this is a live program. Let's see here. What all? Just to get us, if you want to help out, the PayPal interface is over at headon.live. And if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, etc., head over to chat room, click on chat room, and you'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Joe Vecchio and Squeaky and Stockton Larry. And, capably moderated, at least until
pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgia Stan arrives. Me. And I'm not a very good moderator because I don't have a whole lot of time for well, I'm bouncing around in between tabs and whatnot during the program. Nonetheless, let's get started. Clinton JFK. Joey writes, on this day, January 26, 1992, Democratic presidential candidate Bill Clinton, appearing with his wife Hillary on CBS's 60 Minutes, acknowledged causing pain in my marriage, but said those problems were now in the past and not relevant to the campaign. Junior then has some relevancy. Well, apparently Newt Gingrich deemed them relevant as Humpty Dumpty Gingrich created gridlock for Bill Clinton in Congress. And Jeffrey's rather fond of Junior's analysis.
Humpty Dumpty, yes, the hypocrite Gingrich often questioned Bill Clinton's fidelity while he was actually humping and dumping a few wives himself. And did he not ask for a divorce from his second wife when she was in the hospital, in a hospital bed, recovering from cancer?
Yes, Jeffrey Newt Gingrich, who was admittedly humping his mistress while his wife was bedridden in the hospital, had the nerve to question Bill Clinton's infidelity. Oh, and now this piece of shit's threatening the investigative committee of J6. Ironically, 6 years later, also on this day, January 26, 1998, President Bill Clinton forcefully denied having an affair with a former White House intern, telling reporters, "I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky." Jeffrey shares some disappointment.
I am only a giraffe, but I, for one, am very disappointed to hear that Clinton once downgraded a blowjob to a non-sexual act. Clinton should have just told the truth from the beginning, because his lie just gave the Republicans more opportunity to bloviate. Oh, dear God.
And that's for bloviate. Junior's devastated. I cannot believe Bill Clinton downgraded a blowjob. Did he also downgrade the planet of Pluto to...
Well, no, Junior. Clinton did not downgrade the planet Pluto, not Bluto. The downgrading of Pluto was done solarly by the IAU and Disney. Solarly. The llama's a little tired.
Oh, God, Jeffrey keeps going with some flowery commentary.
Oh, I think Bill Clinton's mention of causing pain in my marriage...
That would be causing pain in my marriage
was in reference to the 12-year affair he had while governor of Arkansas. Yes, according to sources, Governor Clinton always wanted flowers on his desk, and he often got his wish when Jennifer Flowers performed desk duties during the dusk.
Oh, come on. Well, anyway, moving along. It looks like Justice Breyer's retiring from the Supreme Court. That's the big news of the day. And that is a very prudent plan. President Biden mentioned that he would like to nominate a black woman for the court. Junior Court's a candidate. I think he should nominate Hillary. She may not be black, but with Bill, she sure had a... Oh, no, Junior. You're being corrupted.
Jeffrey Court's a candidate. Okay, that's enough out of you, Junior. However, in honor of Justice Breyer, Breyer's ice cream should make a brand of ice cream a la Ben and Jerry's and call it the Supreme Court. He's courting a candidate.
Oh. Joey goes away for a couple of days and comes back just loaded for bear with puns. Yesterday, the 25th of January, 1961, was JFK's first televised presidential news conference. And hopefully we have seen and heard the last televised news conference of his nephew Robert Kennedy Jr. For RFK Jr. to attempt to conflate the vaccine to Anne Frank and the Holocaust was just absolutely despicably disgusting. RFK's voice is both literally and figuratively annoying, and I hope to never hear either one anytime soon. Finally, a hearty congratulations to DirecTV for announcing that they will not renew the contract with One America News, or as I call it, ONAN, the network that spills its news upon the ground, when it expires later this year. DirecTV simply stated that the right-wing channel is among the worst purveyors of disinformation as it constantly spews a steady stream of lies regarding the pandemic, election integrity, and other issues. And apparently, Republicans are all riled up, especially the likes of Senator Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and Ohio's 4th District U.S. House Representative Jim Jacketoff Jordan. Jordan stated that this is just another part of the left-wing purge. Interesting that Jim Jordan would use the word purge here in Ohio, considering over a million, mostly minorities, have been purged from the voting rolls during the last 10 years by Lieutenant Governor Husted, allowing Republicans to win the last two presidential elections and other key elections in the state. And Jeffrey's in the final throes.
So nice to see Aaron Rodgers lose on Saturday night in cold, cold Green Bay. Green Bay's offense, led by Rodgers, had a horrible night, as it looked like as the game went on, his wide receivers refused to catch the ball. The arrogant, unvaccinated Rodgers was miffed that his receivers were not catching the ball. After the game, a reporter questioned the receivers as to why they didn't want to catch the ball thrown by Rodgers, and one of the receivers stated, "The football was brittle, cold, and hard to catch, but we were not afraid of catching the ball thrown by Rodgers. We were afraid of catching COVID."
Ooh. Now, I don't think that actually happened, but sure would have been righteous if it had. This has been Joey's Journal for Wednesday, the 26th day of January 2022, with Giraffe downgrading the Republicans to a distant planet. Hear, hear. $25 purging Republicans challenge is on the table, so if that gets met, we will get down below the $500 mark for fundraising as we reach race toward the end of the month of January. Thanks, Joey. Thanks so very much. Our pal Scott in San Diego, question of the day. So what nasty trick will Mitch pull out of his crusty butt to keep Biden's pick of a black woman as Breyer's replacement? Well, we might as well go into it, hadn't we? Yeah. My thinking on that, if we can... Brother Deacon Asa says, "Wow, when it comes to conversing with Junior, that Giraffe's full of dad jokes." Who can play this game, Jeffrey? Yes, indeed. Might as well jump into it, because I heard a number of commentators, saying that nothing would derail Biden's nomination and there would be Democratic unity. And the only thing Claire McCaskill was worried about, former senator that she is, the only thing Claire McCaskill was worried about was keeping all 50 Democrats healthy and able to attend, because there's no proxy voting in the Senate. And so when Scott says, "I wonder what dirty deed, nasty trick Mitch will pull, Moscow Mitch." Oh, I don't know. getting one of his unvaccinated senators to go up and cough on another senator, because even having to quarantine would stop the nomination process in its tracks. You got to remember that. God, as for me, I think maybe they're a little bit naive, these commentators, because they did do the obligatory nod toward wondering if Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema would support the nominee, and then they immediately said yes, because they have not nixed any of Joe Biden's appointments. But they're missing one salient fact, and that fact is, well, Joe Manchin and blackness. It was years ago. Let's put it this way. Joe Manchin does not sit on the Senate Judiciary Committee, neither does Kyrsten Sinema. So they won't have any direct impact on the committee process. And can only have an impact in the actual vote. you know, the floor vote. That being the case, well, let's see. Randy Radar says, is he going to, have they got something on Breyer? Is he going to spend more time with his family? Oh, no, Randy, no. People have been begging Stephen Breyer to retire. Didn't mean for it to come out that way, but it just did. Because we've got to get a young, a younger justice on the court, because to go to a 7-2 majority, if the Senate falls into Republican hands and a Republican president, is unthinkable. They're already capable of doing whatever mischief they want. And 7-2, oh my God. So this gives a chance to Joe Biden to have his own nominee. It doesn't change what's being called the ideological balance of the court. That ain't balance, y'all, you multimillionaires. That's it doesn't change the ideological imbalance of the court. You still got six wild-eyed radicals from the Federalist Society forming a majority against three pretty much middle-of-the-roaders. And Breyer just, well, it would have been easier if he'd retired earlier. But he is retiring, and good on him. All the commentary suggested that he's been a good justice and a decent human being. This is not like, Randy Radar, this is not like when Justice Anthony Kennedy suddenly up and resigned or retired. That was all tied up with the curiosity of Kennedy's son having been the banker for the Trump crime family over at Deutsche Bank. Okay. I am trying to remember the individual's name, and I apologize that I can't. But it was said there, what gives me pause about Joe Manchin is that some years back, it was during the Obama administration, and Barack Obama had nominated a man to head the DOJ Civil Rights Division, and that individual had had a hand in crafting an appellate brief for Mumia Abu-Jamal, if I recall correctly. And Joe Manchin said, well, this is unthinkable. We can't have somebody like that displaying the fact that he had no understanding of what it means to be a lawyer whatsoever, but also displaying that he was willing to bring race into an equation where it had no business being there. I mean, for God's sakes, if you look at what some of Joe Manchin's favorite lawyers have done in this state, you know, representing coal companies against widows, orphans, miners who could barely breathe, then again, he'd probably think those people were qualified. So I'm not nearly as sanguine as the multimillionaires on the for-profit media about Joe Manchin doing the right thing, because assuming that Joe Manchin will do the right thing is a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous bet. And now we have to wait and see. There is what is being described as a short list of people who are under consideration. He has said early on, and I'm sure this just infuriates the white wing, that he would nominate, given the opportunity, he would nominate a black woman to be on the Supreme Court, which is well past time. Ketanji Brown Jackson who sits on the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, is said to be at the head of that list. She was elevated to the circuit court on a vote of 53-44 last year. You may rest assured that those three votes won't, at least three of those votes won't be there, because Moscow Mitch rules with an iron boot. She's also a former clerk to Justice Stephen Breyer. Like I said, it's well past time that there was an African-American woman on the court, and he has several choices. There is a there's another judge who sits on the California Supreme Court. That might not be a bad choice. But the problem is that none of these people, none of these black women are going to be acceptable to the Republicans simply because one of them was nominated by Joe Biden. And the maggot infestation in the United States Senate is pervasive and profound. Let's see, just to give you an idea of how this is, well, Chuck Grassley of Iowa voted against Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson because she didn't endorse the howling judicial fraud that right-wingers call originalism. And Senator Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, also refused to vote for her on those grounds. Back in back when she was being confirmed, Rachel Maddow had described her as having done the right thing in ruling regarding a maggot era case about how far presidential power can go. So Senator Thom Tillis of North Carolina Slim criticized her for that. She replied, "I have no control over what reporters say about my rulings." Young Josh Hawley, the treason-adjacent senator from Missouri, went after her for the her opinion on, of course, a woman's right to control the workings of her own reproductive system. Two, also, marriage equality. I simply hope... yeah, there's the story. Thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Committee. Debo Adegbile was the nominee back in 2014. Had a stellar resume. But Joe Manchin said, no, we can't have someone who's ever had anything to do with defending or writing an appellate brief for an imprisoned black man. And tanked the nomination of an African American man to a post for which he was eminently qualified. This is all just a little strange, though, this whole retirement business, because, well, there's no formal letter yet from Justice Breyer, and it was announced by the White House and not necessarily by the and not by the court itself. And so you have to wonder if the if the almost entirely dysfunctional United States Senate and its wholly corrupt Republican caucus will actually be willing to do their job and offer advice and consent. Which in itself, the concept of advice and consent, you know, the word "and" there means something. It means that they are presumed to consent. But it, like every other Senate procedure, it has been perverted by that most perverse of senators, the worst creature ever to slither out of Colbert County, Alabama, Addison, Moscow Mitch McConnell. Some of the other potential nominees. There's a Justice Kruger, an African American woman, who sits on the California Supreme Court. She has experience as a Deputy Solicitor General of the United States. Well, then again, there's a South Carolina district judge, Judge Childs, and she brings a distinction insofar as, lo and behold, mirabile dictu, she didn't go to learn her lawyering at Yale or Harvard. And I'll be candid. Like, when am I not? It might be nice to have someone in the court who didn't come from one of those two judicial chop shops. Really, as I've made clear over the last few years, really unimpressed with a lot of what passes for jurisprudence that comes out of those law schools. So, you know, it's a wait and see. It took 27 days. That's it. 27 days. For the Republicans to cram Justice Handmaid up the body politic of the United States of America. There's no way Moscow Mitch will let anything happen that quickly. If Biden can get his nominee onto the court, like I said, she'll be the first African-American woman, but it will also mark a watershed moment for the court, meaning that there will be four women sitting on the court. Of course, we have to, for that number, we also have to count Justice Handmaid. Remember, she can't do anything. She can't have a thought in her head without her husband's permission because she's a handmaid. And it really is what she is within that religious cult that she participates in. Yeah. Not right. So, I mean, that's the big story of the day. I had a note earlier today from Matt in San Francisco. How much dark money, Breyer's retirement, but how much dark money will Kyrsten Sinema get to switch parties?
Throw away the moral compass and the money will come.
It's so true. And what a time to do that this would be.
And I suppose she could leverage some power out of this. You know, listen, y'all need to quit talking about primarying me in 24. You know, I could switch to the Republican Party, and they'd be happy to have me. I'm cute.
And then there goes your nominee, and the court can just operate on 8 justices until get a Republican president like me. He's the cutest president we ever had.
I know it's not even something that you want to give any kind of thought to, but I don't think there's any way to avoid such these days.
Scott in San Diego says, in a just and perfect world, after Breyer's replacement gets all robed, sworn in, and seated as the next associate justice, it'd be a fine moment for old Slappy Thomas to ingest the most coarse pubic hair in the known universe on the rim of his Coke can and choke himself into the next world.
We really have ruined you, haven't we, Scott? There you were, all optimistic and everything, and we're all screwed, Robin.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can file that under that imprecatory prayer that the Republicans were fond of praying back when Barack Obama was in the White House. You know, the imprecatory prayer from, what is it, the Book of Psalms or whatever. It says, let his wife be without a husband, let his children be without a father. Yeah, they did that. They really, really did. It's not a joke. Dave in the Blind says, sure, Biden could nominate an eminently qualified former president of the United States. However, King Joe Manchin would object because, in his words, never, ever had a former president be nominated to the court. Hey, Joe Biden, there was this little rotunda gentleman named Taft, your buddy, Dave in the Blind. And there's been a former Secretary of the Treasury, Salmon P. Chase, was elevated to the Supreme Court by Abraham Lincoln to get him out of Lincoln's hair as Lincoln approached the 1864 presidential election, so there's that. Shorty in L.A. says, I'm LMAO, Robin, about Miss Bitch McConnell. Why? Glad you asked. Girl, this will definitely be a must-see TV moment. How? Glad you asked. How? Let's find Kentucky's best African-American woman and nominate her as the next U.S. Supreme Court justice pick. Get the fucking popcorn, Americans, and just wait for it. Wait for it. It's probably going to be Mary. Scott notes regarding Purge. Jim Jacket Off Jordan is so full of shit he desperately needs a purge. High colonic, that twerp. P.S. He's the reason I believe in reincarnation. Jim Jordan's so full of shit he must have been a sewage treatment plant in a previous life. Maybe that's how he identifies now. I don't know. So, like I said, that's the top of the stack, but mercy. There's so much other stuff. Questions are being asked about a restaurant called Elio's, E-L-I-O apostrophe S. It's on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, and that was the restaurant where half-term, half-wit Alaska former governor, as well as former vice presidential candidate, Godzilla from Wasilla, Caribou Barbie, Sarah Palin, had dinner, sitting down, indoors, this past Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she's unvaccinated, refuses to participate, refuses to display any common human decency. But the folks at Elio's let her eat there anyway, even though they were violating the city ordinances of New York to do so. Luca Guidolini, the manager at Alio's, said that he wasn't working there last Saturday night, but ordinarily they sure do enforce the vaccine mandate in the city of New York, but that in this case it was an isolated incident and an unfortunate oversight. She came there with a regular patron. I wonder if I know. You reckon it's somebody who once stepped out as a man in a dress with Donald J. Trump, you think? Maybe, possibly. Was it you, Rudy Giuliani? But they said at Alio's they don't check their regulars, they check first-time customers. And they're trying to get to the bottom of what happened. Well, they caved. They didn't want to get a bunch of shit from whoever it was she was dining with. And she doesn't have a vaccine card, a shot record. Jesus. She doesn't have a shot record, so she couldn't have produced one. Of course, I wouldn't put it past her to have a bogus one, would you? Anyway, 2 days after her dinner at Alio's, she tested positive for the Rona, just in time to keep her case against the New York Times from going forward. Yeah, but maybe Alio's is going to nose around and find out what happened. But the city of New York's not going to. No. A spokesperson for the city of New York told the New York Times a couple of days ago that protocol violations for shot records are only pursued by the city if a city inspector witnesses the violation. Ann Isaac, throwing an employee under the bus. Ann Isaac is the owner of Alio's. She said, "I'm trying to show some empathy for the one employee who may have been lax for whatever reason." And they said, "We're not going to change our COVID-19 protocol over this." You know, maybe there needs to be some damn protests in front of Gracie Mansion. In front of City Hall, perhaps. Pointing out that it is unacceptable not to investigate this incident and find out why this was allowed to happen. How many people do you think she probably got sick? Godzilla from Wasilla. Now, Steve in New York says, "I don't buy that she's unvaccinated. I think she is. I think she paid them to say she wasn't." Wouldn't surprise me. And they still won't give up the name of who it was that Mussolini was dining with. I think that would actually be valuable to know. But this, you know, in a way, this feels like a Titanic Tuesday and not a prayer meeting Wednesday. Here's some stupid. Hypnotized.
The password is hypnotized.
That is the word that cranky old septuagenarian guitar player Eric Clapton is using. He did an interview on something called The Real Music Observer on YouTube and said, he wanted to make it clear that he is not vaccinated, that he is anti-vaccine. And he said, "I didn't get the memo. Whatever the memo was, it hadn't reached me. Then I started to realize there was really a memo, and a guy, Matthias Desmet, talked about it. And it's great. The theory of mass formation hypnosis. And I could see it then. Once I kind of started to look for it, I saw it everywhere." Then I remembered seeing little things on YouTube which were like subliminal advertising. It had been going on for a long time, that thing about you will own nothing and you will be happy. And I thought, what's that mean? And bit by bit, I put a rough kind of jigsaw puzzle together, and that made me more resolute. Yeah, Eric Clapton. Anti-vaxxer. Well, go ahead and close the circuit, Eric, and come out as a transphobe, too. You probably are. And so they asked him about his collaboration with another anti-vaxxer, Van Morrison. And he said, my career had almost gone anyway. At the point where I spoke out, it had been almost 18 months since I'd kind of been forcibly retired. I joined forces with Van, and I got the tip Van was standing up to the measures, and I thought, why is nobody else doing this? So I contacted him. I was mystified. I seemed to be the only person that found it exciting or even appropriate. I'm cut from a cloth where if you tell me I can't do something, I really want to know why. And so, if you've had your vaccine, you are, as David Letterman once put it, hypnotized. Jesus, these people. And I wonder what his anti-vax status. I wonder how many people. Eric Clapton, Van Morrison, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. How many people? Sarah Palin. How many people have they stochastically killed? And I don't think it's improper that we ask that question. Matt pointing out Eric Clapton. Well, from what he said, I gather he's still doing drugs. It's good to know that even old rock and rollers can still party like it's 1985. Yeah, he's 76 years old. If he gets the Rona, well, it'll be more than tears in heaven. God. Hypnotized. Yeah. And then there's the story of an Army veteran and a longtime nurse by the name of Jeff Sales, 47 years old. He'd spent the last couple of years working in the hospital that employed him, the COVID-19 unit, all the way through the pandemic. And he was fully vaccinated. These are the people who break your heart. He was working on January the 21st, just 5 days ago, when another nurse looked at Jeff Sales and said, you don't look good. That was what his sister-in-law wrote on the GoFundMe page. He tested positive for COVID, and shortly thereafter went into heart failure. 12 hours after testing positive. He wasn't a mask hole. He wasn't a COVID idiot. He wasn't a spread neck. He gave of himself throughout the entire pandemic, and probably some mask hole COVID idiot spread neck killed him. And left a wife behind and 4 children. Over on the GoFundMe page, Rayanne Christensen, his sister-in-law, wrote, everything happened so quickly, but even to the end, Jeff thought about his family, whom he loved so much. He was the best dad and husband. And his wife, Jeff Sales' wife, got the virus, but she's doing okay. And Rayanne Christensen said she has 4 very worried caretakers taking really good care of her. He had a heart condition. He had a hole in his heart. The doctors repaired it with a metal valve. And almost immediately after contracting COVID, the valve failed because of COVID. And look, I was going to say I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry for saying this. It was Florida and some unvaccinated MAGA-voting, likely MAGA-voting turd killed that good man as surely as if they had used a gun. And he was the sole provider in his family. Lay a piece of him at the doorstep of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Send a piece of him to Van Morrison and Eric Clapton. Give Tucker Carlson a vial of his blood so that he can pour it on his hands, literally, because it's already there figuratively. This shit makes me heartbroken. God. Yeah, there's a bunch of this kind of stuff out there. By the way, we talked a little bit about the likely contagion of the next COVID variant. As the old saying went, it's here. Variant Omicron BA.2 subtype. Being referred to as the stealth Omicron. And, there's a new variant that's been, discovered in several states. It's appearing in small numbers, but since we've got a noisy plurality of assholes, it'll get busy too. BA2 appears to be the major Omicron lineage in part of India and the Philippines, and there's evidence it is growing compared to BA.1 in Denmark, the UK, and Germany. And the next variant's coming along any day now. I saw that... it's been, there are 88 reported samples in the U.S. from 22 states, including California, Arizona, New York. The Washington State Department of Health said there's about 100 confirmed BA.2 cases in the U.S., and that word stealth is, of course, disturbing. And what they mean by that Tom Peacock's a virologist at Imperial College in London, and he said the term stealth has been misused. He also said BA.2 is a sister lineage to BA.1. They're both defined as the Omicron variant. BA.2 shares a lot of mutations with BA.1, but it also has many differences, among other things, and we're deep in the weeds of jargon here. Among other things, BA.2 lacks the spike Delta 6970 mutations, and it doesn't cause S gene target failure in the Tachman qPCR assay. And because it lacks that, it was deemed stealth because that assay was used to determine how quickly BA.1 spread. And, of course, you know, stupid people will make it spread more. Watch this space. Oh, what else? Yeah, sorry, Todd. Say it ain't so about the new variant. Nah, it's so. It is so. Trying to find, here's a hell of a note. The COVIDiots, also who overlap with cue balls, the cue balls share disinformation on a channel on Telegram, and one grandfather who was on that channel and, you know, barking and grunting, hooting, etc., he went on Telegram and said, my granddaughter is sick, flu-like symptoms, she's 6 months old, her mother's worried sick, she just had COVID last week. Well, one of the members of the group quickly responded and said, baby aspirin to thin the blood a little. You know, generally speaking, it is not recommended to give children aspirin anymore because of a rare but serious condition that can result from it. And went on to say, in addition to giving the little six-month-old baby aspirin, that they should rub some ivermectin on the baby's feet. Horse paste. And then the other folks who went to Google Medical School got in on the conversation. From what I understand, yes, it is safe to give an infant. However, please stop calling it COVID. It's not COVID. It's a simple cold. That's how we got in this mess to begin with. That was an idiot named Katie. Well, Grandpa came back and updated the wacky gang there on QAnon Telegram. He said, we gave her two doses of ivermectin at 50 milligrams each. Why has this dude not been found and, you know, charged with child abuse? We gave her two doses of ivermectin at 50 milligrams each. That's what was recommended by someone on here. She got really sick after that. Related? I don't know. And then said, came back on Telegram and said, you know, she's real bad sick. She's throwing up. She done turned blue. And somebody finally said, look, dumbass, go to the hospital. And Grandpa said, we don't trust hospitals. I told my son to give her more ivermectin. At which point, even the cue ball assholes started saying, no, dude, seriously, quit fucking around. Take the baby to the hospital. And with the recording from or the reporting from Vice, that QAnon Telegram channel is run by a guy named Mike Penny. And of course, he's another one of these wackadoodles. He's a bestie with Michael Protzman, whom we've talked about on this program before. Michael Protzman is the guy who is hanging out in Dallas and waiting for the return of John F. Kennedy. And declared, in fact, that John F. Kennedy Jr. was masquerading as the Rolling Stones at the Arizona Maggot Rally. And just as further, you know, further deep background on the on these loons, these dangerous, deadly loons. This was the bunch that got sick and swore up and down that they had been the victim of a chemical attack back in December. They were communally drinking from a bowl of chemical cocktail at that meeting that was made up of chlorine dioxide and other not good for you chemicals. Yeah, chlorine dioxide is an industrial disinfectant. They were literally drinking disinfectant like their God Emperor told them to. You remember that during the shit show? Back during the Reign of Error, when COVID Caligula said, you know, we need to drink some disinfectant. I'm not trying to be a jerk about things, but what do stories like this, what do they do to you? Because they make me crazier than a sprayed roach. I mean, you reckon Vice knows who this was? This granddad? And if that's the case, why has a referral not been made to whatever the appropriate child protective services is, wherever it is? Matt in San Francisco says, thank goodness the hardware store was out of fluorescent light bulbs. Otherwise, this baby would have had to get through that as well. Oh, my God. It's a little bitty fluorescent light bulb. Steve in New York says, ivermectin on the baby's feet. What's next? Waving a dead chicken over her? Sprinkle holy water on her? Pee in the baby's mouth? Feed her dirt? I'm sure each and every one of those things was well represented over on the QAnon Telegram channel. Oh, and just a little on-the-ground real world from Steve in New York. Checking vax status. My experience is that restaurants always ask to see confirmation of vaccination, even places where I'm a regular. Well, maybe it's when you're a regular and you're irregularly wealthy. Maybe that's the point of departure. What do you know, Kincaid? Says Earther. This is bonafide Facebook medical advice. It's called baby aspirin for a reason. Shot the baby in the leg, and it's still not getting better. The beatings will continue until morale improves. Yes, yes, I get it. Chemical attack, Stephen New York says, clearly someone was trying to sap and impurify their precious bodily fluids. Yeah, chlorine dioxide, I don't know if it's a deadly gas, but it can be. But they were drinking a punch bowl of it. So that's the filler obster for the first hour of the program. And I should note we are still at $543 to go in fundraising for the evening. I mention it because there's a $25 Purge the Republicans challenge on the table, courtesy of Joey and Giraffe and Junior. And it would be great if we could keep knocking this down, because we're running out of January and we need to finish to the good. And, well, frankly, I'm hoping to file to run for office, and I got 2 days, and, well, that's just more expenses. And we got lots more wackiness, I guess, from the White Wing. But let's check in with Scott in San Diego. Hey, Scott, how are you?
Well, I was fine until I tuned today. I mean,
and I do that to you every time, don't I?
Crazy motherfuckers. That just, I mean, it's not one thing. It's.
Well, that's what Malloy says. If it's not lice, it's bedbugs.
And what is the deal with the what was the name of that restaurant up in New York?
Elio's, E-L-I-O apostrophe S.
Elio's, okay. Here's the deal, okay? It's like, let's just, where are the health, is this a special holiday for health inspectors? From the they got their badge that they flash from the, if you don't see it, if we don't see it, it didn't happen. Division. I mean, come on.
I know.
You know, next Tuesday the place will probably declare it, you know, let's all pee in the minestrone night or something. I mean, it's just.
Wait, what?
Let's all pee in the.
No, let's all pee.
Night.
That's what I heard. Let's all pee in the minestrone night.
Well, from the name of it, I assumed it was an Italian restaurant.
No, it is. It is.
You know, breadstick battles, and then the winner gets to pee in the minestrone. I mean, works for me.
And all the anti-vaxxers will just guzzle it. Guzzle, I tell you.
Oh, yeah. It'll be like a big, gigantic, children's wading pool-sized goblet, and they'll all have straws, and it'll be...
Oh, there's the goblet of a Jewish carpenter. Sorry.
Only the penitent man shall pass. Squeeze you right there.
Only the pee-peeing man will pass.
Squeeze him there, maybe he'll pass another one.
Don't forget to shake. I wanted to let you know.
My cousin ended up in the hospital, you know, because some men, and I know this is delicate stuff around dinner time in some part of the world, but some men, after they are number one standing there, they will gently shake. Sometimes they'll give it a little tap or two. My cousin wound up in the emergency room because he was wringing it like a wash rag. I mean, this says, ow!
Oh, my God, we've started something. Matt in San Francisco says, no more pea soup for me.
There you go. They don't call it pea soup or nothing.
And as far as Elio's is concerned, Steve in New York is absolutely convinced. He says, it simply didn't happen. She is vaccinated and showed proof. I guarantee it. But the restaurant itself is saying that it happened, Steve.
Hey, we're talking about Sarah Palin here, for fuck's sake.
But I wanted to share something with you. I get these lovely notes from our buddy Dennis in Columbus when he contributes via the U.S. Postal Service.
Columbus, Ohio?
Ohio. Say it right.
Ohio.
Ohio.
Well, I lived in Ohio for a while. I can call it Ohio. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
High in the middle and round on both ends. Dennis wrote, enclosed is a check for $100, 50 of it for normal contribution. The other 50 is sent along in honor of Scott in San Diego.
Oh, holy fuck, what I do now?
I really enjoy the free-range conversations the two of you have when he calls in. Tell him, I said, Scott's a real, unreal trip. And I mean that as a compliment, by the way. And adds, re-COVID, to paraphrase the Grateful Dead, what a long, strange grip it's been. You got the grip.
Grippy.
Yes, and he spelled it right, G-R-I-P-P-E. So yeah. That's for Dennis.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you, Dennis. I appreciate
Wasn't that
the
sweet?
Compliment, and I appreciate your sending a few bucks Robin's way.
It was most helpful, I can promise.
I'm sure.
Let's see. Christopher in Oregon says, old Eric, can someone tell old Eric that not only did the sheriff get the shot, but the deputy did too? Ooh! That's professional quality. Arnold
didn't shoot the deputy.
Arnold, meanwhile, says, Clapton previously said he was against anyone vaccinated coming to his shop. Jesus, these people.
What kind of shop does he run?
I don't know, but I am merely the vessel. Thank you, Ralphs, for getting us started. We got $15 to go on Joey and Giraffe and Junior's challenge, the Purge the Republicans challenge. Clarence wrote in and said, what the fuck? Robin, I think we have a massive mental health problem in this country. A major mental health bill should be a priority. Yeah, it should. And the mental health problem we have now pales by comparison to the one we're gonna have even further down the road. Because, well, you know, why would we want to actually deal with something like that, right?
I you know, just when I think that things are calming down, you know what I did, and I think, you know, I'm not going to tell folks what to do, but I think everybody who has a few viable brain cells to bang together, on the anniversary, the 20th, I sent a brief email to the President of the United States, Joseph Robinette Biden, just basically to thank him for the previous year of sanity. Okay? I mean, let's call it what it is.
It was kind of nice.
Just to say, I don't agree with everything, but I do agree that we need sanity. You know, someone with, not crazy at the helm.
It should probably be put in writing. Maybe in the Constitution there should be a sanity clause.
Well, you know there's no such thing as...
Put it right out there for you there, Groucho.
I got my helmet on and my bat has got corked in it, and I'm just pine tarred up to my elbows, and I'm just swinging and hitting them right out of the goddamn park. But no, really, I think that I prefaced it with, you know, I keep hearing about these polls, these opinion polls. As in, nobody's contacted me to ask me what I think, which is why I'm...
Well, like, what do you think, Scott?
I think that he was elected for 4 years, and you don't give a... this is a poor way to express it, but you don't give a post-mortem to someone who is upright, above ground and breathing. I mean... You can call your opinion and say, well, you know, he might have done it this other way or, you know, whatever. But, I mean, after the last 4 years, I would make a better president than that tangerine-tinted twerp that we had, who wants to come back, by the way. So I hope you folks are paying attention to that. I mean, it's, you know... It bugs the hell out of me that it's as if we can't have normalcy. We've got to have every goddamn thing be a controversy. You know, because we had 4 years of it. And you know, if you want, write the president an email. If you don't like what your senators are doing, send them an email. If you don't like what your House representative is doing, send them an email. But the news, I mean, just who, what, why, when, and how. Also, why, or the one that doesn't begin with W but is usually included in that group. Give the fucking news and leave your opinions to yourself. I feel like I'm channeling Spiro T. Agnew, but goddamn, it bugs me, especially in the midst of COVID, which a lot of people are still not taking seriously, and letting babies suffer and treating them with fucking voodoo. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to rant.
No, rant on, my friend, rant on.
But do you get what I mean?
Sure.
It's just after the last 4 years, can't we take a breath, all get on the same page, and do something worthwhile other than, I don't like, and why and Brian have to retire? We'll get somebody up there that we don't like. We get enough of that from Mitch and Jim Jordan and Ted Cruz and that bunch of demented reprobates. We got
those refugees from Bedlam.
Yeah, it's just here. I try to stay in a calm, rational, basal state, but these fuckers won't let me. This is what tries my patience.
They are at war with your basal state, Scott.
That's right. That's right. Or Tony Basil or something. It just bugs me. And I wanted to have a nice, pleasant conversation because I don't call so much. And, you know, how
and
you
I
been?
Just
are
And
you...
I just ruined it. I just ruined it.
No, I ruined it because I get all worked up and overwrought, and and I know better.
Well, you know, just what you need, just rub a little horse paste on your feet, Scott. I mean.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ed.
Wilbur.
Well, now, will it make my feet stick to the floor?
No, the vaccine makes you stick to the fridge. You're confusing your conspiracies.
Am I the sticker or the sticky? Or is that Stucky? Let me have a... Bring me a
pecan log roll while you're at it. Yeah.
Maybe I was already in bad mood, in fairness to you and the nut buckets out there in politic land. The other night, I talked to my niece up in Montana. And she's a lovely child. She's had many problems. And I won't go into them here, you know, because of privacy. But one thing I was very surprised to hear is that she is, I said, so are you all fully vaxxed and boosted? No, I don't believe in it.
Oh, no.
And I almost shat. Now, here's a child that is intelligent. She was in the Air Force for a while.
Now, she's but we're talking about an adult.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, compared to me, everybody's a child. You're just a raucous teenager compared to me.
I am.
Well, and I think of her as a child because, you know, she was born in, what, 78, something like that. That's youthful compared to me. And somebody who should certainly know better. So,
well, if she was in the Air Force, she had a damn sight, a good handful of inoculations, I'm pretty sure.
You bet. And I didn't press her on it. I didn't say that's stupid or anything like that. But I did say, well, you know, I'd love to hear your thinking, your rationale for, well, I don't trust it. Because if you have type O blood, you're okay. If you take vitamins and supplements and eat right and sleep enough at night, you're okay. And again, I wasn't going to contradict her and give her, you know, medical advice, you know, reality-based reality there, you know, medically speaking. But my heart sank, I'm telling you. And living in Montana to boot, you know, the only saving grace there is that people are not all jammed in together like here in the big city. But even so, there's so many crazy, quote, free thinkers up there. You know, they don't want nobody taking their guns, and we ain't taking no shots, and we ain't going to wear no masks. And we'll pee in the Minnesota.
Because freedom!
Yeah, freedom to the life, liberty, and the pursuit of peeing in the minestrone on Tuesday night. What is wrong with these fuckers? That's a rhetorical question because you will be here all day.
It's unanswered. I mean, it's a list.
But can you understand my concern?
Yes.
And her mom is not like what you would call well-hinged herself. I mean, she's kind of a religious nut. When it comes right down to it.
Is this your sister?
My older brother's ex-wife.
Huh.
But, and luckily he got out of there. with his life and sanity intact several years back. But, you know, and I just, it just, my heart literally sank. I don't, to myself, I said, oh, God. Like, I don't have enough shit to toss and turn about. And I know my friend in Cincinnati, Christine, I know one of the reasons she hasn't called me back, because we usually talk at Thanksgiving and Christmas and catch up around mid-year, around the time of my birthday. But she's another one who apparently is buying into the lunacy. My friend Pat, who was on the radio in Tulsa, who I was friends with, I called him, left a message just out of the blue to see how he was doing. Haven't heard from him, and that was back in, like, September. So,
It's worrisome.
Most people I know are have enough sense to follow sound medical advice, you know?
Yeah.
And those who don't, if I don't hear from them, it troubles me. Because I don't want to lose anybody to this. I know we joke about these things, but I even felt bad about Herman Cain, for fuck's sake.
You're not the only one.
You know?
I mean, look, if a person throws themselves in front of a bus,
yeah,
are we not saddened by it?
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
I mean, I am.
Any loss of life, especially for a stupid reason or excuse, I mean, there's no reason involved with that line of thinking, but anytime someone dies, it's always sad. I mean, I can only think of a couple exceptions, and even they, when it came right down to it, somebody lost a brother or a father or a husband or a wife or whatever. I get it on that level. But I did not do hand flips or whatever when old what's his name, the justice, the Gwen Hutton, and woke up all dead like Scalia.
Oh, fat dead Tony Scalia.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't do hand flips. I appreciate everybody's humanity. Now Trump, on another hand, when that fucker passes,
you know what? There'll even be something to grieve in him.
Well, there probably will be. Because
you know, you come into this world a tabula rasa, a blank slate.
And I believe he was a Presbyterian. I'm sorry.
And it is in the corruption of that blank slate that the real tragedy lies.
Well, yeah. That's true.
I mean, I've been talking about this for a week or more, but I'm getting to the point where I mean, look, Emery and Marvelline sitting there in their matching Barca loungers in their trailer in the Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Park and Country Club have precisely zero medical acumen and probably less in general science. But they turn on right-wing cable channels the first thing in the morning, and it's the last thing they turn off at night unless they fall asleep with it still running. And when they get COVID and die, they have been killed by those outfits as sure as if they had used it, as if Fox or Onan or whatever had used a gun.
Yeah.
We've got near a million murder victims in the United States, and no one is talking about it in that regard. Or I should say, let me correct that. The only people calling it that are saying that it was the Chinese who done it, and not that orange embarrassment that used to squat in the White House.
Oh, do you mean the tangerine turd blossom?
Yes, the demented orange circus peanut, as you used to call him.
Yeah, Jesus.
But they are they are killed. You know, this is all Mercutio saying, ask after me in the morning and you shall find me a very grave fellow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's terrible.
And when
it's grievously sad.
When the dis and misinformation is all that they know or expose themselves to, it's just, what was that movie, Fox News Stole My Dad, or about 10 years ago?
I think Sparky's familiar with that. And yeah. I was going to mention, a long time ago, a guy I knew, I haven't heard from him in ages. He was a therapist down in Texas. Got to meet him once. His name is I don't know why I'm using the past tense, just because I haven't heard from him. Rick Goodner. And Rick wrote a book called The Fox News Syndrome: Shared Psychotic Disorder. And his thesis was that Fox had created a group dynamic psychosis among its viewership. And it seemed plausible then, and it seems downright, go find Rick Goodner and give him a damn Nobel Prize in Medicine level now.
Yeah, it's gaslighting to the nth degree.
Yeah, it's gaslighting where the gas doesn't get lit and it just fills the room up until somebody lights a spark and it all blows up.
Yeah, well, and believe me, they're just aching for a chance to make things blow. I mean, that's their down the road goal. Because they're not going to go quietly.
No.
You know?
I mean, our buddy Joe Vecchio said a minute ago, I feel we're long past the era where political solutions will work. This will not end well. And all we have to work with are political solutions. If you go to a march, it's a political solution. A rally is a political solution. A sit-in is a political solution. I mean, we watched the MAGAT insurrectionists on January 6, 2021. They tried, you know, violence. And we now know that there were people who wanted the elements of the United States military to further that. Fortunately, people decided not to. You know, when an idea is so horrible that Bill Barr, a prosecution, says, nah, I'm out, how bad was it?
Well, yeah, given his track record and mindset, it's pretty goddamn bad. And what, the other day was old Alex Jones was on the stand and...
Alex Jones pled
the fifth on, like, 100... How many times? 100 times?
106 times? Or something like that. I don't... But, yeah.
And I heard on... I think it was on a Lawrence O'Donnell show last night that he was... He said his excuse was, well, you know, I could only answer half of the questions anyway, and on the other half, I know they were just lying in wait to nail me for perjury if I got one little aspect of my answer wrong. I wonder if he offered
the committee any of his paleo chocolate chicken bone beverage.
Let's hope not.
By the way, Randy Radar says the name of the movie was The Brainwashing of My Dad.
Yeah. I know. I don't have no memory problems. Who is this again? Anyway, but you get what I mean. And the thing that troubles me about him, and this is a question that maybe Rick or Steve can answer, since they're the legals of the group. But when it comes to testimony and the person gives the fifth, can you presume that their public statements on audio or video on that day carry some weight in your how you decide in the disposition of their situation?
Well, that was one of the problems that Alex Jones faced. is that, you know, he has run his yap continuously. But they were also asking about his association, and he said, he named names, he dropped the dime on a woman named Wren, W-R-E-N,
yeah,
who was one of the primary financial backers of the of the rally.
Yeah. Now, when are these public hearings going to be happening? I figured after the first of the year, January or early February, that they would get underway. I heard March. What the hell's going on?
Well, no, public hearings probably by March. That was the last thing I read, because they want a draft report out by early summer, which means sometime after June the 20th.
I'm ready for some football, if you get my meaning.
I do indeed. Got a note from Robert up over down under, and I always value Robert's take because he's watching us, you know, he's watching those wacky Americans at a distance. Robert says, it doesn't surprise me anymore. I won't trust a doctor, someone with 8 to 12 to 16 years of training, but I will trust a complete stranger on the internet when it comes to health care. I'd say, what the fuck, but it doesn't surprise me anymore. When I was first officially diagnosed with arthritis, I suddenly found everyone had a friend who was a naturopath who could cure that. Mm-hmm. Are they a billionaire, I would ask? Robert's such a... so wonder. No, why, they'd reply. Because if they could cure arthritis, they would be, I would say.
Good
I'm still...
Point.
And again, it was it's the great Australian musician and comic Tim Minchin who asked the question once, do you know what they call alternative medicine that works? Medicine.
There you go.
But Robert continues and says, I'm still surprised at the number of people who still don't understand what I'd said. It took several attempts to find the arthritis medication that worked for me, but once my doctor did, it was like having half my previous life back. When I had chest pain a few years back, I was sent into hospital to have it checked. They put in the first of two stents that day. Had I not complained of the pain to my GP and gone to hospital, I'd have had a heart attack within a few months. I was that close. So instead of a heart attack, I had one very boring overnight stay in hospital and a second less boring one because I was prepared the second time and took a book to read. When it came to the vaccine, I was just give me the jab. Signed, Robert in Oz, alive and well, and still in isolation. This, you know, precisely. I heard some news story about, oh, it's a call-in line or some website or something on how to talk to the unvaccinated. And it says, and don't criticize them. Don't be mean to them. How has that worked so far? I mean, now we've gotten so far into this that a multimillionaire like Bill Maher is grunting and barking and griping on the air because he's tired of wearing his mask, and they've dropped the mask. And I see the stuff, Scott, and I just, whoo, they've apparently dropped the mask mandate in Italy. And they're getting ready to drop the mask mandate in Great Britain, in the UK.
Now, wait a minute. I remember the news footage the first year, you know, of our COVID adventure. And they were carrying them out on anything with wheels in Italy.
Stacking them like cordwood.
Yeah. So Italy says, not adios, sayonara. Is that goodbye? In the
no, it's arrivederci masks. Ciao mask.
Ciao mask, yeah.
That's one you can eat through.
Speaking of masks, I got my Bonafide masks in the mail the other day.
Yeah?
That Paul in Parts Unknown had recommended. I haven't worn one because I haven't been out yet. But if they're the ones that I think I got, let me open them. I didn't even open them. There could be spiders in that package, and I don't know it. See, you're not to scratch too far under the skin. I'm a paranoid radio.
Oh, that's okay. I saw a headline. I think it was last night, or maybe this morning, and I hollered to Annette and said, you got it. It was, I think it was McDonald's. McDonald's customer gets hamburger with a side of spider.
Oh, dear. Dear.
Yeah, that's just, no. 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 I don't care if it's itsy-bitsy. I don't care if it was headed for the water spout. No!
Okay, well, this is KN95 AM and FM Sea Caucus. Okay, because some of these fancy dancing masks.
Did you say KN95 FM Sea Caucus? Yes, you did.
KN95 AM and FM Sea Caucus. Yeah, but these
news and weather on the 20s.
These just have the two ear loops. Van Gogh would be screwed in this mask.
That was one of the great memes of the early pandemic. Was Van Gogh with his mask hanging off of his one ear, and all it said underneath was "fuck."
Starry night. Jesus, I was going to make a valid point here, and I once again I've derailed myself. I don't know.
Well, Steve tells me they dropped the mask mandate in Great Britain. In Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland, I think they're still in effect. By the way, this from Joe Vecchio. You'll appreciate this. When we moved to Orlando from Brooklyn, I first got to see televangelists in action. And the tactics that are being used by Fox and other propaganda outlets are the same. Always some new outrage to stir people up and keep the money train rolling. It's like edging. They can't allow the rubes to get too crazy because that's bad for business, but the problem is people are being pressed to violence if they can't get what they've been promised. And trust me, they're just itching to hurt people. All this talk about democracy goes right by them because they don't care about democracy. They want to be the privileged subjects of an authoritarian regime. They're the in-group that the law protects but does not bind, while everyone else is the out-group whom the law binds but does not protect. That's solid, Joe. That's solid.
Is that the old grace versus law dispensation? Or am I reading that in?
Well, that's probably your Catholic school upbringing.
I got that from the Baptists. I didn't.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And the Pentecostals don't. The Catholics, it was all merry all the time. And traffic on the 8th.
You're on KN95 AM and FM, Secaucus.
Yeah. I remember the valid point I was going to bring up. I know they talk about, you go in and the first doctor says it doesn't look good, and then your family says go get a second opinion. So I know that the word opinion is used in that way in that medical context. But when did medicine become a matter of whim and opinion for the lay people?
Well, if doctors can have opinions, they can have them too, damn it.
Well, no. I mean, I understand that not all doctors agree on all points of medicine, and that it's a practice as opposed to something that wouldn't be a practice, something that's set in stone. There are different approaches, is what I'm saying. But when you start taking a dewormer for equine creatures and putting it on the baby's feet or on their gums or whatever, and shoving St. Joseph baby aspirin down their gullet at, 6 months old, is that child? Somebody, an adult, has to fucking step in. Somebody with some authority in the realm has to step in and say, no, I don't think we're going to go any further down this road, folks. And bring your lawyers and bring your doctors, but we're all going to court and we're going to settle this. But then again, in today's world, you've got judges that have, are sitting there.
Oh, and I got a judge for you here. I got a judge for you right here, right now. I need to say thank you. Thank you to Barbara. And thank you to Henry. And again, thank you to Ralphs.
Order in the court, because here come the judge.
And
by the way, if you're a fan of laughing,
just say, let me get my thank yous out, because Joey and Giraffe and Junior's challenge, the Purge the Republicans challenge, has been met. So that took us down to 493, and then $458 to go in fundraising. And hopefully we'll knock out a big chunk of it this evening. Thank you. Thank you. Very kindly. So there's 458 to go. And the more we knock down, the less miraculous we have to be going forward. Happy Meal, says Christopher in Oregon. Must be a new Happy Meal promo from McDonald's. When your child opens the box, the song I Like Spiders and Snakes starts playing. But that ain't what it takes to love me like the way I love
you. Itsy bitsy spider dancing in my fries. I don't know.
Dancing in
my fries. Oh,
I
can't.
Yeah, I don't know if you were listening last night, but we were talking about, or night before, we were talking about the new Jerry Falwell Jr. interview with Gabriel Sherman at Vanity Fair.
Oh, dear. He's the guy that did the best book on Fox that there is to be read.
Yeah,
and
it just popped into my head. Annette and I were talking about it, and I said, "Cucky Jerry sitting in a tree, B A L L G A G." I was proud of it.
Well, I don't have my bells on. I have to run across the room. They're hanging on the doorknob. That's my grandmother Katie's bells. I rang them for you once.
Yes, you have. You have.
Too lazy to get.
No, I was going to tell you, you're talking about even judges getting into the act.
Well, wait a minute. Before you go to the court, fans of Laugh-In, you can apparently get all of the DVDs of every episode of Laugh-In plus some extras for like $61. It's regularly $200-some-odd. But I don't know where. Go to newsfromme.com. Mark Evanier, my pal, has a blog, and he mentioned it the other day, which is why I mentioned it to you folks, because I know that you like a bargain. And that's a hell of a bargain. And I used to love Laugh-In. Sell it to me. He apparently got elected on the basis of, well, there were other things involved. But Nixon won in 68. His appearance on Laugh-In may have been enough to put him into office. And Humphrey wouldn't go on.
God.
Did you know that?
Well, I mean, I knew he went on.
Sock it to me. Jeez. Anyway, tell me about the judge.
Well, His Honor sits on the circuit court, state court in Georgia. Or in Florida. And in Florida, if a pregnant person who is under the age of majority, 18, gets pregnant, they have to go in front of a circuit judge to get permission to exercise control over their own reproductive system. Because this individual is underage, they use the legal fiction of a Jane Doe. Hillsborough County Circuit Judge Jared E. Smith refused this girl's right to an abortion because he claimed, well, she said she made B grades, but her current GPA is 2.0. Clearly, a B average would not equate to a 2.0 GPA. Her testimony evinces either a lack of intelligence or credibility, either of which weigh against a finding of maturity pursuant to the statute. Oh, shit. I wish I was lying.
Are judges elected down there?
I think so, yeah.
No, that's too bad.
On the other hand, so being denied, she then appealed it to the Court of Appeals in the state of Florida, where Judge Daryl Casanueva and Judge Susan Rothstein Joachim said, you know, if she's making B's, then her current GPA may not reflect her newer grades, you know, because, you know, the circuit judge was just trying to figure out a way to force this girl to have a baby.
Well, see, yeah, I was going to say.
And said, the court said, we observe a C average demonstrates average intelligence for a high school student. The evidence certainly did not show that her overall intelligence was less than average. Because this jackass, Jared E. Smith, said that she wasn't smart enough to get an abortion, but I guess she should be dumb enough to carry the child to term. Jurisprudence has fallen a long way in this country.
So what is there a disposition yet in terms of the appeal? See, in a case like
that, she won the appeal, so I guess she gets to go and have the and have the procedure. Jared Smith said she's never had any financial responsibilities, even so much as paying her own cell phone bills. But the record actually disclosed that this child works around 20 hours a week, has $1,600 in savings and 2 credit cards, and pays for just about everything in her life but her cell phone bills.
Well, let me ask you a question, Robin. She's smart enough to get a lawyer and come to court to defend herself. I'll bet you not a word of the official filing, the paperwork, the casework, had a thing to do with her scholastic achievement or lack thereof.
Oh, no, this circuit judge is clearly a fetus fetishist.
Well, I hope that the fetus that they save grows up to be a black, gay, Wiccan Democrat.
Hear, hear.
Put that in your gavel and shove it. You got me going crazy here, Robin. I'm telling you. I just... Aunt Emma used to have a saying, this is so-and-so is about to set me crazy. Well, if I ain't crazy by now with some of these people, I'm telling you, one of these days, Alice, to the moon. But I know I sound like I'm, you know, continuing to beat my drum, but we can give them no quarter, not even 2 dimes and a nickel. We've got midterms coming up, and we've got a general election in 24, which is in political time, it's just around the corner. You know, we have got to keep the House, got to keep the Senate, and got to just act like it makes a difference that we vote and that we are engaged as fully as we can possibly be. Because it used to be metaphorically a life or death situation in the sense of, well, politically that candidate did not survive. You know, we didn't bury him. He just didn't win the election. But this is a literal life and death situation that every person in every state in the U.S. of A. faces. It is I would go so far as to say it's an existential crisis that we face, because when you've got at the levers of power some manifestly irresponsible and willfully stupid people wanting to do shit, I have people like Mitch McConnell in mind. Okay, we saw what he did before. That's why I asked you that question about whoever's going to replace Justice Breyer. You know, what nasty trick is he going to pull out of his crusty butt this time? He's limited in what he can do, but given the precarious balance in the U.S. Senate, and given that we've got 2 that say they're on our side, that, you know, it depends who writes the biggest check, apparently, that determines which way they'll, you know. I remember, I don't know if Woody Guthrie wrote it, but somebody wrote, which side are you on, boys? I think it was a lady, a coal mining lady down in Kentucky or something in the 30s. Somebody can look that up. But the question, which side are you on, has become the main question. The second main question. The first main question is, are you fully vaxxed and boosted? That's 3 questions. Are you fully vaxxed and boosted? Do you wear a mask except when you're asleep? And which side are you on? Those are the 3 primary questions. Or there are 4 questions. Like a Monty Python visit to the cheese shop or something. The questions are you fully vaxxed and boosted? Do you wear a mask except when you sleep? Which side are you on? And Well, now I forgot the fourth question. But you get the idea. There are several questions that are worth pondering and answering correctly in today's world. Your fucking life depends on it, and the lives of those that you love. And I know this is not a fucking news flash, but I just wound myself up like an 8-day clock.
I understand.
So apparently she is. I feel bad for this young woman. You know. Wait, what is equal protection? How does that work out on a state-by-state basis? Because if I'm in state X and it's like, you know, just short of whoopee in terms of the attitudes and prevailing biases, and I for a new job I have to move to state Y, where you've got, what's this judge's name? I want the people to know who this asshat is.
That would be...
Your Honor.
Hillsborough, Florida, County Circuit Judge Jared E. Smith.
Where is Hillsborough? That must be up in the panhandle or somewhere where the alligators live, in the central part of the state. It's B-O-R-O-U-G-H at the end.
H-I-L-L-S-B-O-R-O-U-G-H, yeah. Oh, and Pete Seeger, apparently, according to Steve in New York, Pete Seeger wrote, which side are you on?
Well,
and notes that Natalie Merchant did a breathtakingly and hauntingly good version.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. But do you get what I mean? We cannot rest on our laurels, or our hearties, for that matter. We've talked about this before. There used to be a time in American life and politics where you'd have the election, the votes would get counted, the winner would be declared, they'd get sworn in, and then we'd get back to our lives and, you know, pay as much attention as we needed to. Because in those days, now I know that you're going to think that I'm just talking out of my butt, folks, but there was a time when people got elected who were competent, and they could pass all of the psychological tests, most of them, and they were there for a high and noble purpose, and they didn't fuck up anywhere near as much as they do these days. And I know it wasn't perfect once upon a time back in my magic airy fairy world, but I'm just telling you that the norm used to be, well, I don't know, more normal, okay? Regular order, to use a Capitol Hill phrase. But in today's world, it's like a goddamn Duke's mixture of madness. And you've got people on these fucking alternative news, so-called news outlets, online and offline, sometimes on cable, except for DirecTV. I'm glad those people got their act together with One America or Onan or whatever it is. But you've got these people stirring the pot. There's no time out. There's no breathing space. It's like a never-ending battle. And I laid that at the feet of one Newt Gingrich. Wasn't he really the one?
There really is a stack of shit. There really is a stack of shit under him, laying at his feet.
Yeah. I you know, and he's, I saw a clip of him from another network on the news the other night, and he's still at it. He's still standing at the cauldron, just stirring the shit. And it's ponderous, man. As Casey Kasem says, it's just fucking
ponderous. It's fucking ponderous. And where are those pictures?
Yeah, Dave, is that the guy's name? His assistant? I don't know. Get Don on the phone.
Yeah, get Don on the phone.
Get Don on the phone. It's a damn dead dog song. You got these goddamn up-tempo records, and you're doing a goddamn death dedication. Get Don on the phone.
I just love that.
It's anybody who's done any radio or production work or whatever, they can relate to that, you know?
Oh, that yeah. There's just some days when you exit screaming.
Oh, if you, I'm sure in a closet somewhere around here, I have got production takes, because I didn't always get shit done on the first take, and I would just leave my bloopers and shit in, and I'm sure you could probably make a record package of that and have that be a horn premium or something. Let me, I've got a reel-to-reel recorder.
Oh, my God. We'd love to hear some of your old outtakes.
Oh, God.
Or some
oh,
of your old, not outtakes, air check, air checks, air checks.
Yeah.
By the way, George says, Robin and Scott, my favorite Spider song is Boris the Spider by John Entwistle and The Who. It's creepy fun at Halloween. Oh, yeah, I know. I know Boris the Spider. Boris the Spider. Yeah, I know that. Yeah. Stephen New York says, facts and opinion. Generally speaking, we used to agree on the facts but argue over the interpretation. Now we can't even agree on facts and reality. And that's true.
Yeah. And how long can we survive?
I mean, for instance, here's a fact. There has never, ever been, in all the history of vaccines, a vaccine that will make you magnetic. Straightforward? Factual?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Well, we can't agree on that fact.
Well, you can test things in physics. I never took physics, but I understand you can test things. If someone's vaccinated and boosted, theoretically, if they walk into the kitchen close enough to the fridge, all those maggots that are holding the pictures of the grandchildren on there, and the recipes, and the sense-off coupons, it ain't been good since Nixon was in office, all them motherfuckers would fly off and attach themselves to you, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they?
You would kind of expect that, but... But this is the, I mean, this is the world we live in, and see, this is where my mind differs from the spreadnecks and maggots and mask holes and COVIDiots' minds. I was when it hit, and I've told this story before. I was already moving in that direction, but when it hit, I knew I had to transition. Because I couldn't stand the idea of dying in the closet. And as it got worse and worse, I yearned for a vaccine. And then once it was out and some people could get it but other people couldn't, I was every day following the progress of the vaccine to find out when I could get it and when Annette could get it. And the minute that it was possible, by God, we went and got it. And we got our second shot on April the 1st, 2021. Because I was scared. Because this thing is frightening. And if you are refusing the vaccine because it is a part of your political ideology to own the libs, then at some point in the dark and still of the night, are you not just sweating bullets? Scared to death that you're going to die for a political ideology that the people who are advancing it give not a fig about you for?
Well, here's my take on that. And I think I used this analogy once before. Until August of 1999, I was at a minimum a two-pack-a-day smoker and had been since my late teens, early 20s. And I quit two different times for 4 and 10 months, respectively, but went back to those flammable bad boys. And since 1965, I think, there's always been a warning of one degree or another on the side of each and every pack I have used. Now, I'm not the brightest crayon in the
world. Warning! The Surgeon General of the United States has determined
that cigarette smoking may be hazardous to your health. They're not even definite about it. They say maybe.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'm not the brightest.
Well, I mean, 20% of cigarette smokers will get lung cancer. Some other percentage will get heart disease. And some people, it won't affect at all.
Yeah. Well, all I'm
you know, it doesn't. It doesn't kill everybody. Being born on Earth is what kills everybody.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is just to.
But I get your point.
All I'm saying is, I was smart enough. I'm not the brightest crayon in the drawer, but I'm in the box. But I was smart enough to say, well, it was the chest pains actually that got my attention. I'm sitting there minding my own business, and I get this tightness in my chest. A couple of days later, I'm down at the hospital, taking the EKG on the treadmill, and they didn't find anything. But they did. One of the other tests I did was you have to blow into this thing until your eyes turn, you know, rainbow color.
Yeah, what is that, like a spirometer or something?
Yeah, in the garlic. It's like your eyes are like those 25-cent jaw breakers in the machine, you know, multicolor stuff. And I said, well, this, I don't need to be tapped on the shoulder more than once when it comes to not being alive anymore. And I figured, why take any more chances? I knew for a long time that smoking was not the best use of my time and money, okay? And I quit, and that's
But the other thing is, every time you opened a new pack, you saw that warning on the side and went, yeah, I guess, and opened it and tapped one out. And,
yeah. Ah. But the thing is, it's like, that I say all of that to say this. Why are these people taking these types of chances? I guess it's the impact of denial, the power of denial, or it'll never happen to me. And they don't really start sweating bullets, Robin, until they're a confirmed case and they're strapped in the bed and they've got all manner of machinery and leads coming off of them to monitor them. And many of them die. Quite a few of them have died. What's the number now? Are we over a million now? Are we approaching it? 800,000?
Approaching it, yeah.
You know, so it's like how strong. It's a matter of weighing out which is stronger, your grip on reality or your capacity for denial when it comes to anything that works in your benefit to keep you upright and above ground. And most of these people have never seriously, honestly, had that conversation with themselves. And therein is a lot of the problem. We, you know, it used to be that just young people denied their own mortality. But now everybody's fucking doing it, you know? I don't mean to give a speech, but it's all needless. It's needless. And it sets us back. That's why I'm wondering, coming up in a few years, we'll supposedly hit our 250th anniversary as a nation. How long can we survive when things politically and socially and intellectually have gotten to the point where up is down and down is up? It's like Newspeak out of fucking 1984. And they're making constant revisions in the fucker, sending them up through the pneumatic tubes, depending on the whims of Big Brother.
I know. Matt in San Francisco has a note.
Uh-oh.
Political past. Scott is onto something. I remember a time when we would fight some, win some, lose some. Now it feels like every loss brings us one step closer to fascism. The constant gaslighting of the 45 reign. Cut to Joe Biden, and we can't seem to get the ball over the 10-yard line, let alone score any points. It's exhausting. Sometimes I think that may be part of the plan. Brings us all to exhaustion, so we give up and say, screw it. Let the crazies have the keys. And it's not maybe. That is the plan. I mean, that's what soft voter suppression is all about. You push out all this garbage into the body politic so that people who might be inclined to give a damn and go out to the polls or vote by mail or do something just say, screw it. I mean, I've preached this little sermonette for years, Scott, that, you know, in 1968, George C. Wallace said, there's not a dime's worth of difference between a Democrat and a Republican. And in 2000, Ralph Nader said the same thing. And in both instances, we were hastily and brutally taught what a lie that was.
Yep.
But you don't have to. You don't have to sit around to stand around on a street corner very long, and to hear somebody else say it. And what it results in, and Matt intuited this, what it results in is an electorate that just goes, "Oh, I don't care. Leave me alone. All I wanted to do was watch SpongeBob." And
well, and that's what,
and you get a youth culture that, you know, wants to watch anime, and that's not me gooning on anime. Yeah,
or you.
Am I wrong?
No. And that has been the problem my entire life. And this is another thing that just pisses me off. I'm forgetting what the exact number is of people who are legally entitled to vote. But it seems like every year the registration stays flat or dips, and the participation in our election every 2, 4, or 6 years isn't what it ought to be. And there I go again thinking that people ought to be responsible and take play a part in their own destinies, politically and otherwise. But they don't call me the relentless optimist for nothing. But that is also an aspect of the problem. If people made a rule starting next football season that nobody could watch football on Sunday nights or Monday nights or whatever, Thursday nights, whatever time they show professional football, if they made a rule somehow that you just were not permitted to watch football like you used to do, how many people do you think would write a nasty email or letter to their congressperson or their senator person or the president even? How many people would be a give me liberty or give me death moment in the same way that when this nation fought its Revolutionary War, and historical buffs will know that not everybody was anti-British and anti-colonies and pro-nationhood. There was like a third of the people who were actually helping the British, if I'm remembering my numbers correctly. So maybe it's been part of our DNA as a people all along. But I'm telling you, we may not see 250 unless we see to it that we see 250. And that's what, in 2026?
1787, 1987.
Well, I'm talking about 1776.
I'm a crank. I go from the ratification of the Constitution.
Yeah, but
okay, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking 4 years to our 250th anniversary since the Declaration of Independence. Wasn't that 1776?
Yeah.
That's a spirit.
Yeah, 250 would be the sesquibicentennial.
Well, I would wear a napkin next time, and you won't get it off you that way. But you get what I mean. It's like, it's not optional to play an active role in the positive future of our country and the existence of our country in any recognizable way. It's just not optional, folks.
No, it's not. And Stephen New York says, Scotty may not be the brightest crayon in the crayon box, but by God, he's a gorgeous shade of periwinkle.
Oh, mercy. I appreciate your saying that, because I lost my mauve, Crayola. I think the cat ate it, and the cat's been dead for a year
now. Yeah, and burnt umber just never quite, you know.
I thought that thing in the cat box looked rather colorful on other places. I don't know what I'm going to do, because I lived through Watergate. I lived through assassinations and riots in the street, Robin. And I'm telling you, cut that shit out. You know, it's easier to keep it from happening than it is to put a stop to it once it's underway.
And without a doubt.
And you remember that display of foolishness where people were gassed and they had horses on Pennsylvania Avenue. It was like the parting of the fucking Red Sea, so that the demented circus peanut could walk across the street and hold up a borrowed Bible upside down in front of St. John's Church.
I shouldn't laugh, but you know, he was the oddly enough, in Latin, you know, we call the Pope the Pontifex Maximus, right?
Yeah.
And that comes from an actual Roman pagan religious office. And Pontifex in Latin comes from Pons Pontus, which means bridge. And Fex comes from... Fex? Sounds vaguely Australian. Fex comes from facio facere feci factum, which means to build or to make or to do. So Pontifex means bridge builder. Well, in many ways, Donald Trump was the bridge builder. And I use the past tense because I don't think he's going to be president again. I could be wrong.
No, I'm willing to bet money he's not even going to
But they're kind of moving on from him because they saw what he couldn't accomplish, and now there are people out there who are promising, listen, my entire family is not near to being under indictment. I know how this shit works, and I can make all your dreams come true. I can make them sit down and shut up. I can make those people get out of our way so that we can be wonderful and white again.
Do you have a Florida governor in mind?
Well, there's that, or the bobble-gulleted Tom Cotton.
Yeah.
You know, hell, it wasn't too long ago that Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, was telling people, well, you know... traditionally, in the Republican Party, the person who came in second is the nominee in the following presidential election. And, of course, he was alluding to himself because he came in second, and, I mean, one of those distant seconds where you can't see first place because it's miles ahead of you. You know, he got thumped in the... But he won, like, what, two states? Maybe he won Talibandiana. But there's a lot of people out there that know that there's a lot of money to be made. It is, as the prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, said, a good dollar. And they all want it. You know, young, wet behind the ears Josh Hawley of Missouri was waving people into the Capitol on January 6th because he, too, wanted to go to the head of that pack. And don't think for a minute that Glenn Youngkin, the newly minted governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, who wants Virginia school boards to listen to parents, but only the parents that he thinks they should listen to, don't think that he doesn't have some White House sparkle in his eyes. And he may be the dangerous one.
Well, Hawley is one that he wasn't just letting them in. I have not seen fist pumping like he displayed on January 6th since Crisco Night at the Disco back in the 70s. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm sorry, that's just a visual that even I shouldn't have gone and said. But I'm telling you, Dumb was Trump. That's how you say Trump in my native tongue, Donald Dumb. Trump was irretrievably stupid, delusional, demented, inept, and a fool, okay? He was all of those things, always has been, and always will be, until the spirochetes get down to business. But these other Republicans who want it so bad they can taste it and have got big dollars behind them if they declare, okay, they are dead serious. When you get somebody who feels the same way or worse than Trump did and has some smarts behind it, some book learning, who is capable to any serious degree, we may not have to buy the 250 candles for the cake in 2026, if you get my meaning, if you catch my drift. You know? That's how goddamn serious this is. It's an existential point that we are at. And anybody who doesn't realize it needs to go down to the regrooving facility and get regrooved and get their... What was that line in Cool Hand Luke that Strother Martin said? Get your thinking straight, Luke, or get your mind right.
Got to get your mind right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you. I don't catch anybody playing
grab assets into the box.
Yeah. How many eggs did he eat?
I can eat 50 eggs. I can eat 50 eggs.
Oh, God damn. I remember when I saw that movie.
I still love that. I mean, it's sad. It's brutal. But, God, the performances. And, I would probably just sit and watch an extended reel of every scene Strother Martin was ever in.
Well, there was some movie that I saw him in, and I can't remember.
I mean, he steals True Grit.
Well, he's... It wasn't True Grit. I'll have to look it up on IMDb. But he was a hell of an actor.
Oh, yes, he was.
And I loved the way he spoke. His
that
his,
nasal...
Well, here's a problem, Luke.
I've known people who speak like that.
He was a cross between Barney Fife and who else? Who else kind of?
Well, he had that nefarious edge like a Joe Pesci.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was a threatening manner, even though it was a southern syrupy sort of.
What we have here. His failure to communicate.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Quit that.
Need to get you a cart machine.
I would love to have a cart machine.
You can even get a cart machine that still functions as a cart machine, but when you put the cart in... It turns the light on. It's a lamp. Did I ever send you that a picture of that?
Yeah, I think you did.
For you non-radio folks, a cart machine. It's like an 8-track, but it's different, and that's what all the commercials and jingles were on, and even music. That's your top 40 hippity hop of the old pop crop radio station.
Ah, here it took me a minute. I've got it. All right. I've got it.
Cue the engineer.
What? We've got here is failure to communicate.
I don't know why that wasn't in my virtual cart deck already.
I love it.
Because...
In the box. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, a correction. Billable Rick, thank you. No, Pete Seeger did not write which side are you on.
He didn't?
No. It was written in 1931 by an activist named Florence Reese. She was married to Sam Reese, and Sam Reese was a union organizer for the United Mine Workers of America in Harlan County, Kentucky, and it was written in response to one of the many strikes in Harlan County. You know that song, You'll Never Leave Harlan Alive?
Mm-hmm.
Harlan County. And
well, I guess I did know everything but her name. I said a lady down in Kentucky back in the 30s.
Yeah, that was her, Florence Reese. Which side are you on, boy? Which side are you on?
Well, if she hadn't have written it, Pete would have.
Pete covered it.
I loved Pete Seeger.
Yeah. This machine kills fascists.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I've just talked to way too much tonight.
Well, no, I want to share one more thing with you before we do move on, because in the wild race for the Republican nomination in Ohio, a big shot has just been put across everybody else's bow but J.D. Vance. Because Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cuball has endorsed J.D. Vance, as our buddy Ron in Raleigh reminded me. I'm sure this will push him over the top, Ron says. This is going to be a hell of a midterm. And so...
And what is he running for again?
Rob Portman's Senate seat.
Oh, dear, sweet, merciful Jesus.
And the Republican nomination, therefore. Tim Ryan will probably be the Democratic nominee, and, you know, dare to dream. But Marge will go on any TV show that will give her an invitation. I don't know if Brother Bishop Steve in Georgistan has ever seen this thing. Dear God. Because this is just too wacky. Hold on, let me... Dadgummit, I gotta stop doing that.
Does it hurt when you do that?
Yeah, it does.
Well, stop doing that.
I know. I'm just checking to see if... Nope, Steve's not in the chat room. There is a late night, way up on the cable kind of thing. Wild ass number.
Where it's a tier, it's a full service tier where even the buses don't go.
Yeah, there it is. It's local and live UCTV Night Talk. Their banner reads, "Please turn down your TV."
What's it called? Night Talk?
Night
UCTV?
Talk.
I wonder if I've got that on my system.
And so she showed up in the studio with some old dude, and I presume his co-host or his wife or whatever. It's a man and a woman. There's just a black curtain hanging behind her. She's sitting in a chair that doesn't come from Wally World or some such.
A shower curtain studio.
And they take calls at Night Talk. Please turn down your TV. 706-866-7646. That's 706-866-7712. Call now. The lines are open. Operators are standing by. And they took, I mean, I don't know. Todd, if you're there, you might want to check this out. This could be your nighttime alternative to Washington Journal in the mornings.
What time does it come on?
I don't know.
But
it's called Night Talk. I would presume on a show called Night Talk that you come on and you talk about night. God damn, it's dark out there.
yeah.
But no, they take calls, and they took a call for Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cuball from some lady, and as the folks at Right Wing Watch said, not all heroes wear capes. Here we go.
Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes, I just want to say thank God for Joe Biden. She is an embarrassment to the state of Georgia.
Well, we all have our opinions.
Yeah, well, we do. I wait all night for calls like the thank God for Joe. You know, that may be the most important piece of audio that's been produced lately in Georgia. A woman who sounds like that. Hey, I just wanted to call and say thank God for Joe Biden. That woman is an embarrassment to the state of Georgia. Because when other Georgians hear people who talk like her, they may go, well, you know, she is pretty damn stupid. I mean, come on, Marveline, goddamn it. Margie is really, I mean, she is, oh,
well, see,
she's a knife, she is a knife short of a chandelier. I mean, Marveline, come on. Margie is dumber in the head than the hog is in the ass. If her if her brains was gas, she wouldn't have enough to run a piss ants motorcycle around a BB. And that's how movements begin. Well, we've all got our opinion. And the beauty of it all is you have to, I mean, it's a visual, because when she realizes that this lady isn't calling to blow smoke up her ass, Margie gets this sort of constipated look on her face that looks like she's trying to hold back a real toxic fart.
Oh, I'm sure. But see, even something like that, even a call in where you're making sense and telling the truth on a little teeny tiny black shower curtain, cardboard desk, and secondhand couch and chair set, that's a form of engagement. And if the people listening to it, I mean, just to give them something to think about, even if they're not able to do it or it makes their head hurt a little, you know, it's worth the time to do it. That's what I like about Washington Journal. I don't watch or call.
Well, I mean, I think redneck dude there did as good a job as Pedro has ever done. Well, we've all got our opinions. Next caller.
That's all that there was to it? He didn't, there wasn't a dialogue?
No, that was it.
Well, I would have insisted, I would have called right back, blown off the call screener and insisted on, you know, expanding upon my point. Because God knows there was plenty more to say, and we might have heard that fart that she was trying so hard for us not to witness. There's dogs in howling. It was a squeaker.
Cats and dogs living together. Yeah, you know, I like that so much. Let's play that again.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes, I just want to say thank God for Joe Biden. She is an embarrassment to the state of Georgia.
Well, we all have our opinions.
Amen to that, and I've got mine.
All righty, thank you.
Good for her.
You know what?
Well, I may become a caller. If it's on my cable system, I may.
Well, I think it's Georgia based.
Is it like local access or is it actually?
Yeah, it's local cable TV in somewhere in Georgia.
Well, they must have an app. You can get.
Well, I mean, Right Wing Watch found it, so you know.
Well, by God, if I find a link, I'll send it to you.
But the point is, she has endorsed J.D. Vance.
Yeah, we could turn them every way but loose. A cadre of callers? Are you kidding me?
Well, you know, interesting you would mention that, because John Legend... John Legend has a considerable following. And he said, he tweeted recently, Black parents need to flood these tip lines with complaints about our history being silenced. We're parents, too. Talking about, you know, Glenn Youngkin touting his tip line for parents to report any school officials they find who are teaching things our children don't need to know, teaching things that, you know, make them feel bad.
Eggs ain't green, nor is ham.
And now, that Texas law that got the ball rolling, you know, that puts a bounty on people.
The $10,000 deal?
Yeah, now they're going to have one in Florida.
God damn.
Where people can call in and rat out school teachers who maybe talk about somebody's gender or sexuality.
Give me a reality check real quick.
And okay.
Didn't this shit go on in Germany?
East Germany? Yes. As a matter of fact, it did.
And even further back in Germany of Hitler's time and the occupied countries, weren't there these things called informers?
Well, right. I mean, I mentioned last night or the night before, researchers have worked on this for decades, and they now have a pretty, they've got a pretty good idea of who it was that turned in little Anne Frank.
Yeah. I saw it. It was on 60 Minutes a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
But, and, yeah, what kind of message does it send to, don't you tell little children, don't be tattletales?
Yeah, and when they get older, you say things like snitches get stitches.
Well, that too. I'm going to cut you. If you see Raphael, you
tell. Oh, my God. I was thinking of that line. I have a message for Raphael.
What did the message say, Mr. Gardner? I watched that the other night.
Oh, there's never a bad time.
It never gets old. It never gets old. And did you know that Peter Sellers didn't want that thing over the end credits because he thought that it destroyed the illusion of Chauncey Gardner? He went round and round with the director, who's Hal
Ashby.
Ashby. He thought that he missed out on the Oscar because it destroyed the illusion at the very end of the film. But who am I, Sister?
I thought the end of the film kind of tied it all up rather nicely.
Well, it was funny as hell. There's nothing funnier than outtakes with Peter Sellers. I don't care who you are. My God, what a classic movie. Well, listen, I have bogarted this outpost.
Here!
That's great, though.
Good stuff. Doesn't taste like ditch at all.
Yeah. This Toledo window box, man. God, we could have certainly used George Carlin during the era of Trump.
Oh, so many. Joe Bagent, Kurt Vonnegut, hell, Dr. Hunter S. Thompson. Why couldn't you stick around?
Well, I think Trump might have been too much for Dr. T.
Nixon and Ford just about did him in.
Oh, yeah. What was that book that he wrote about the 68 campaign, or was it the 72?
Oh, Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail.
Yes, if you've never read that, boys and girls.
Oh, the essay that he wrote, Richard Nixon has cashed his check.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I hope that I brightened up the otherwise drab and wretched day of not only you, but the Horn family. And I don't know that there's a moral to this story. I just, you know me, I free associate. You know how we get with these rambling, dangling conversations. Is that my participle or is it yours? I don't know.
But I don't dangle anymore, so it must be yours.
Oh. He's in the box. Said I. Anyway, I got to stop being such a stranger. I don't know. I just can't get my sleeping straight. That's all it is. I bet you it's that injection that I got. Them two injections, that booster. I ain't been right ever since.
Well, you know, you're human 2.0 now, Scott.
Oh, yeah. I've got the magnets on my torso to prove it. I do. Yeah. I got it.
Just like Galaxy Quest. What you don't know is I'm towing mines.
I got a chip.
Oh, wait a minute. I've been awarded a cowbell from Todd. Uh-huh. I've had a couple of little gems out there. Earlier, when I said chow mask, one you can eat through, kind of blew right past, but Brother Deacon Asa never misses one, and he got that. And then Todd just now gave me a cowbell when I said... That he said, that's a motherfucking cowbell. Your dangling days are over. you gotta laugh. I mean, you know, come on.
Well, but
I mean, you have to. That's up to you.
Well, yeah.
And Jeremy pointed out, Jeremy in Vermont said, that Marjorie Trader gangrene cue ball clip, at the very end, you can hear Margie groan just a little bit. Just a tad.
Did she toot?
little Margie three names.
Did she do a high-pitched toot? So it's Night Talk, is that the name of it?
Night Talk.
And it's you, what, UB, not you, UTV? Tell me again.
I think it's UCTV. Here, let's... Yeah, UCTV, local and live.
Well, I'm going to look for that. I'm going to look for that on my cable system, and if they don't have it, I'll look on
Night Talk with Emery and Marvelline, because I swear, they look like an Emery and Marvelline.
Oh, it's two of them.
Yeah, the man and a woman.
Do they do commercials, I wonder?
This is the first I've ever heard of them.
There's nothing more entertaining.
Christopher in Oregon said, Night Talk with Magic Mushroom, Marjorie Gangrene, Cue Ball. Why is it always nighttime whenever I close my eyes? Must be something the Jews done did. Oh, Jesus.
You've been blinded by them Jewish space lasers.
Yeah, that's like something Brother Deacon Asa said earlier today. He said, you know, all these people that think, you know, Jews run the world. Dumb bastards. Let me get this absolutely right. Any of these sumbitches who think the Jews can pull off a conspiracy of this magnitude hadn't spent an evening with a pack of Hebrews trying to decide on which fucking restaurant to go to.
Do we want Mandarin or do we want Cantonese?
Oh, God, I know. Get this about UCTV, says Shorty in L.A. Privately owned local cable access station in North Georgia. UCTV went live in the early 1980s and changed hands a couple of times over the years. Current owner Judy O'Neill acquired the station from Judy Huckabee in 2001. At this time, Judy began upgrading equipment and adding several key shows that still air today.
Is that the Arkansas Huckabee?
I don't know. My. Some of the shows include The Morning Show, Night Talk, The Swap Shop. If you can get it, you're going to be tuning in because they got a swap shop.
It'll be the biggest thing since Reverend Gene Scott.
Oh, my God. Senior Moments, The Pet Vet, Catoosa County Government, Walker County Government, Sheriff's Talk, Victory Baptist Church, Shield of Faith Outreach Ministries, Blessed Hope Ministries, The Preaching Post, and the Sunday Gaither Gospel Videos. Oh, the Bill
My
Gaither
Lord.
Trio. Oh, mercy.
My
oh,
Lord.
Please let this be online.
Oh, I want to see this. And if you act now and send a $5 blessing pledge, we'll send you the authentic 14-inch glow-in-the-dark statue of Jesus.
Absolutely. As well as a vintage 8-track tape of the Happy Goodman family with Miss Vestal singing There Is a River.
Pound for pound, there ain't a better gospel group than the Happy Goodmans. They're going to have to reinforce the streets of gold.
Oh, Jesus!
The Alabaster and Jasper streets are going to be in a... They're fucking... The trucks will be lined up with Detour here. The Goodmans are... Alabaster wasn't made for that kind of traffic, I'm telling you.
Oh, God. You're brutal. You're brutal. Oh, pound for pound. Oh, thank God I went with the waterproof mascara. Oh, shit.
It says so on their record. The Happy Goodmans. Of Jesus for your listening enjoyment. I guess they're all gone now. I can hear St. Peter at the gate, this rumbling.
Oh, shit, boys, hide!
Here come the Goodmans! Run!
If Bestel gets up a full head of steam, we're all done.
Oh, dear.
We're horrible
now
people.
I'm crying.
We are horrible people.
Yeah.
It's not just me. Oh, Steve said
Subject line, pound for pound. I laughed so hard I choked, he said. God, I'm killed.
Oh. Vestal was the lady with the hair, the wife.
Yeah, you know, at this point in time, at this point in time, it would be unfair, I admit, not to run a clip.
What was her husband's name?
Oh, God.
I can't remember. They were pretty good singers. I'll give them that.
Here we go. Oh, yeah. Okay. We got Vestal on deck.
Let me get my dancing shoes on and do my holy dance.
Oh, God. Here we go. Yeah.
I love it. She could. You think Ella Fitzgerald broke that wine goblet? Is it alive or memory? Vestal, the whole damn shot.
Oh, God. And there was, what, 2.5 years of. Robin, this is May. Would you please play Looking for a City by the Happy Goodman Family? May, you know I will. My first radio groupie was 83 years old.
It's gone downhill ever since.
Greatest Bible verse, would you, Robin?
I'm telling you. I actually, if the truth be told, I went through a phase where I loved Southern gospel music. There's just something about it. It's crazier than shit. I mean.
Oh, and them were some partying motherfuckers, too.
Oh, next time I call, I will tell you the story of coming into the back room at a church where it was revival meeting, and they would go in. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to.
No,
you
no, before. Save it. Wait a minute. the trouble we've started, Matt in San Francisco. You two, stop it. I had to fight the urge to tap my knees and dance down the wine aisle at the supermarket. I love the places this community takes us. Tap my knees and dance down the wine aisle. Oh, God, they'll come after you with the butterfly net for that in San Francisco, Matt. It'll turn into an impromptu, spontaneous dance party. What you listening to?
If Matt comes out of there with a basket full of Mrs. Paul's fish sticks and dozens of loaves of rye bread, we're screwed. It's loaves and fish this time.
Oh dear God, Scott, you brought the A game.
Aye. Was it Howard Goodman? What was it? I'm not going to stop until I get his name. Vestal, and it was like Vernon or Howard or...
Festus? Or, I mean, okay. All right. Let's ask.
I just...
I'm sure they've got a Wikipedia entry.
I want to know where all the little Goodmans... And I say little...
There it is.
In an advisory way.
Founded in the 1940s by Howard Happy Goodman.
Happy.
Mm-hmm.
Middle name was Happy.
Significant popularity in the 1960s. In 1968, they won the first Grammy Award to be awarded to a gospel album by a gospel group.
Where did they hail from? Was it like Florida or Georgia or Arkansas or something? It wasn't New England. I know that.
It doesn't say.
Huh. Oh, well. Is there a picture of their bus? You can probably see the where the license plates were issued.
No. Hired Happy Goodman was born on November the 7th, 1921, in Dora, Alabama.
Alabama.
And Dora is just a ways down the road in Walker County.
Where's Sweetwater?
Sweetwater?
Yeah, that's where Bob Harrington was from originally, the chaplain of Bourbon Street.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I met him once.
He signed my New Testament.
Intersections with greatness.
Yeah.
Yeah, Steve got you hired.
Howard and Vestal and...
Right.
What is that thing on Bill Gaither's...
Oh, wait a minute, I missed out on a cowbell. I don't want to miss any cowbells. Billable Rick said, cowbell for you. Night talk, where the callers talk about the night. God damn, it's dark out there. We need this sometimes, Scott. We need this.
That thing on Bill Gaither's head, did he get that at the same by mail shop that Rand Paul got his?
It may be Bill Gaither's.
One of Bill Gaither's.
Yeah, they're just handed down generation unto generation. Yea, verily.
These are, you don't get this with your Sinead O'Connor Chia ads, boys and girls. These are toupees from hell. Tales of terror, indeed. My God. Well, I better stop. I told you before I was going to stop, and by God, I better stop before the men come and take me away down to the place.
And by the way, you were speaking of Alabaster and Jasper?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the county seat the county seat of Walker County, Alabama, is, of course, Jasper, Alabama.
Yeah. Jasper. I'm going to name my first boy Jasper. Happy,
oh, Lord.
Jasper. Happy Jasper, come in and bring me a Coca-Cola and a moon pie. God, stop me. You've got the power. Night talk. Yeah, I think I'm going to circle that on my TV guide.
God,
I used to like Gene Scott, Dr. Gene Scott, because he was the epistle for Jesus. Are you kidding me? Sitting there smoking his cigars.
Well, Scott, you have yourself a lovely evening. Still haven't gotten your melon liqueur and your melon and your bottle of vodka and melon melon Gatorade, have you?
No, I've got the melon Gatorade, and I didn't have any melon liqueur, or I don't think I have any vodka left. I think I dumped it out, because that stuff, I guess it keeps, but I didn't see myself drinking anytime soon. This is the second New Year's in a row that I've been stone cold sober. Something wrong with me. But I will get the melon liqueur, and I will get me a couple of bottles of vodka. Because I want to try that, because that Gatorade just on its own is good. That melon.
Well, be careful, because that Gatorade will run it right into your bloodstream right quick.
Oh, dear. Well, I haven't tied...
Next thing you know, you're just wandering around behind the little animals.
I already do that. I go out every morning and put nuts out. Unless the neighbors are out watering something, and I don't do it because I'm kind of bashful, you see. But anyway... It has been, once again, and there's no way that it wouldn't have been. It's been a multitude of pleasures, Robin, I'm telling you.
Oh, joy has abounded.
You have restored that area of my brain. I hadn't thought of Happy Goodmans for years. And now I won't get them out of my head. I'll hear this dull, pounding sort of sound. They're the Happy Goodmans dancing, doing their happy, holy dance. In my head. I love it. I love it.
You know what a bunch of weirdos DJs are. I knew a jock back in Alabama, and we were just We were just playing in the around in the production. In the production room, we'd cut in commercials and stuff, and he cranked up the reverb and said, "Coming to the Barton, Alabama Civic Center and National Guard Armory. It's Kiss, you know, with that, you know, the, with special guests, the Happy Goodman family." And we using the four track, you know, we cut to get, you know what those old concert ads sounded like.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
I want to rock and roll all day, looking for a city.
Heavy on the reverb. Tickets. Flames coming out of my speaker.
Tickets on sale now. Tickets on sale now at Southern Sound Head Shop and Christian Books.
Yes. Well, anyway.
Yeah. I think we peaked. God, I love it when you kill me like that. That's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. Pound for pound, the. That needs to. Sometimes I miss my reverb. Pound for pound, the best gospel act in America. Rolling Stone. She's a heavy hitter, that best old Goodman. Spin Magazine.
Hairstylist Weekly says, "We've never seen purple hair before." Didn't she have the
Women's Hair Weekly says you couldn't climb that hair with pitons. Arthur just said Kiss and Happy Goodman's. I can die happy now.
Oh, it's boys and girls. If you go there and watch that, it ain't the acid that's doing it.
By the way, just because we're all kind of keeping track of this a little bit. Speaking of radio people kind of being kind of sketchy sometimes. Big Joe Ellicott is a radio personality down in Florida. And he's pals with a guy named Joel Greenberg. And Joel Greenberg was the wingman with Matt It Just Gets Worse.
Oh, yeah.
And he pled guilty, but he told Big Joe Ellicott that payola was illegal now, I guess. He pled guilty in federal court to a conspiracy to pay bribes and kickbacks.
Oh, dear.
And he also had a side hustle selling Adderall. Wonder if he knows Donald Trump. Here's the thing. Ellicott is said to know, by the Daily Beast, is said to know the intimate details, emphasis on the word intimate, of the tryst, shall we say, that both Greenberg and Matt It Just Gates Skeevier had with an underage girl. And Ellicott, having entered his guilty plea, is required to cooperate in other ongoing investigations.
I'm telling you, it's going to get more interesting with each new day, if the wheels of justice turned quickly enough.
Well, we will talk soon, Scott.
Maybe they'll get put into the wing of the prison where somebody's got a record player and a stack of Happy Goodman family records.
I'll talk.
Well, I better go before I cough up a lung. Take care, Robin, and take care, Horn family. You all are, you're aces with me, all of you.
Hey, Scott, Tracy wanted to know, were you still on the phone? And yes, you are.
All right. Yeah, I guess I are.
Tracy?
Hi, Tracy.
Yes.
Oh, you're okay, on. I didn't know you. What's up?
I'm driving, and I'm like, please stop, because I didn't almost have an accident or anything like that, but it could have happened, because at one point I'm dying. I'm laughing.
We got Matt dancing in the wine aisle of some grocery store in San Francisco.
Tracy, well, and I'm sitting here, you know, They'll be, you know, in L.A., in the Crenshaw district, and I'm going, I'm like, I was literally snorting, and I'm pretty, the girl that I drive, I'm cracking up because I have you in my Bluetooth, so they can't hear what's going on. And the girl that I, you know, I start cracking up, and then she starts laughing. It's like, well, obviously something's funny because Miss Tracy's laughing. And but Robin, like, and it's like, Robin, don't, baby. Yeah, I haven't heard you laugh like that in so long. I mean, it was one of those deep, you know, from your gut laughs. And I it just did my soul good to hear you laugh like that.
Because it was so cleansing. After
I could see it was term side splitting.
Oh, I was about bent double at one point. It was horrible.
Yeah, and so was that. I was at one point, I'm holding on to the steering wheel, and I had to put my head on the steering wheel from my forehead. It was like, okay, breathe. You're driving.
A couple of weeks ago, Tracy, the last time I called, I don't know what the hell we were talking about.
Oh, what was that one? Maybe Brother Deacon Asa remembers. But yeah,
we were both laughing to the point of incapacitation. I mean, literally, just couldn't breathe, hardly.
Yeah, because you guys could barely talk. You were laughing so hard. It's like, I was like, wow, this is... See, like Robert just said, these are the things that we need. Because with the tremendous amount of bullshit that we are going through right now, and it is becoming increasingly more difficult to laugh and just, and, you know, you get a chuckle, a wry chuckle or something like that, But a full gut busting, rolling in the aisles laugh.
Oh, yeah. It releases endorphins and all that shit. There is a physical healing thing that goes on with laughter.
Yes, it does. And I said, baby. And I'm like, please stop. And then you play the music, and I'm like, okay. I'm done. I'm dead. You killed me.
I'm just done, damn it.
I'm just done. Put a fork in me. I'm done. But I'm glad that you're still on the phone because I don't get a chance to actually talk to you we hear each other on the front porch, but we don't actually have a chance to kind of converse with you and I and Robin. But baby, thank you for helping my girl laugh. Because the stuff that you were talking about this afternoon into the evening was comic gold, baby.
How close did we get, Tracy, to having Traffic Copter 4 there in greater L.A. hovering above the city?
I'm sorry. I'm a professional. So, baby, I have driven through, I have driven from to hell and back. So I know how to, you know. But on my way to that point when you guys were talking, and I was driving on the streets of the valley trying to get onto the 101, and it was just one. And what's my new thing? You simple bastard. You know, that's my new phrase for idiots that, you know, don't know how to drive. And so it was just one, just, you know, people cutting you off, and you have maybe a toe tear between you and their rear bumper. And you're like, really? And then when you blow at them, they look at you like, what? They give you two. And so, you know, so I was already on edge. Plus, the young kid that I really have issues with, we normally are out of the school by 3:30 because everybody gets it. But he was having issues. So we had to wait for him to calm him down and make him understand and all of this. And I'm like, a little fucker. So now we're stuck, you know. So So I'm already pissed off at that because we've been getting home at a decent hour. And so now you added, I mean, anybody that drives know that not seconds, not minutes, but seconds matter when it comes to traffic. And so fortunately, I went a different way and we're still relatively, you know, we were half an hour later than we have been, but it was, you know, it's still pretty early. So, and then that, and, but then you and Robin have one of the best conversations on radio. That's one for...
Yeah, sometimes...
That is one for the archives, baby.
Yeah, sometimes I feel bad for the people who, you know, like, tune into Joe Rogan and stuff, because this shit doesn't happen there. It does not. No.
Oh, God, no.
Tracy, sincerely speaking, I'm glad that you got a few chuckles, and I'm very glad that the headline didn't read, you know, KNX calls SIG alert due to caller.
Your KNX 270.
Too progressive talk show. That puts you on.
Yes, because that'll, you know, I blame the communists. See that?
Yeah,
see,
there.
America?
Yeah, Joe Vecchio will be so proud. I blame communism. Yep.
Yeah, because it's like, you see, that's why, you know, the liberal media. See, the car accidents and whatnot and so forth. That's why we can't, you know, we got to protect America from the liberals.
We were talking about God.
You have been listening to this program too long, Tracy.
It's like, we got to protect. What about the children? What about the youth?
Solway, Puella, Solway.
Exactly. Oh, this is like I said, this was the cleanse that I needed, that I didn't know I needed. And again, I'm just, Scott, you know, and I'm sorry that you are no longer that the happy dean of what is it, optimism and all that. Right, and I take some responsibility for that because I can, what I talk about can be, you know, pretty damn heavy, half and ever.
Heavy is happy.
Please still stay. see, I don't have a visual, so I have no idea what they look like, so now I gotta look them up. But when you say pal for pal, I said, oh. And then Robin, of course I got the, I don't dangle anymore. Of course I got what you said. But
it's gotta be
my
yours,
dangling days are over. Yeah. You know, and I'm like, I couldn't type that because I was driving. I'm like, oh, I said, I see what you did there. You ain't slick. You're not slick. I heard what you said. I just couldn't comment because I was driving.
No,
but
more dangling.
It's like my dangling days are over. And I'm like, oh God. Nobody else caught on? Nobody? Really? Really? Bueller? I mean, come on, people. Step up your game. Come on. You can't lift up like,
you know, one of the most humongous novels of the 1990s. And I read it by an author named David Foster Wallace, and he was a genius. It's called Infinite Jest, and the line comes from it's a Shakespeare quote. Alas, poor Yorick, I knew him well. A man of infinite jest. That's when Hamlet picks up the skull out of the grave. Well, Infinite Jest was about a film that was so funny that it killed everyone who saw it. And I don't know.
No, that's not real.
It was. I mean, you know, it's about 8 feet thick, that book.
That was a Monty Python bit about the joke that nobody could tell or hear because they would die from laughter.
Well, maybe that's where David Foster Wallace got it, but I don't know. This evening's program may approach it because I'm still getting my breath. But I was proud. I was proud of the dangling quip.
Man, baby. So at that point, I was heading south on Rampa when you see. Here's the thing. So now I'm going to have to say, okay, where was I? On what part of the street? On what street in L.A.? In which direction was I heading in? Where Robin's there. My dangly days are over. I missed a turn because of that. You hear me? I was supposed to turn on, because like I said, I'm always experimenting with routes. And so I missed the turn, and I'm like, son of a... So I was heading, so basically I was heading south on Rampa, and blah, 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 and I'm like, but ooh, thank you. Thank you. My life will be short.
Don't
cut off your slosson. That's all I'm telling you.
Too late.
Too late.
But you know, people would say things like, you know, you get rid of your balls, and I so badly wanted. I wanted to bring them home with me after, because I wanted to have them. I wanted to have them like dipped in gold and made into earrings and go, no, they're right here.
Made into earrings
like baby shoes.
Right, my baby shoes. Come on now. I don't see why they couldn't give it to you. So what if it's, you know, medical waste? BFD, what are they going to do with it?
Yeah, bronze those.
You know, but brass balls. Ah.
Balls are us.
You know, that's people say you got brass balls, so you go ahead and just, you know, have them just in brass. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Well, they've got,
you know, makes you,
that are in.
And make sure you have the.
In the shape of testicles. Right. And some of them are red, white, and blue. And some of them are. I don't know.
Well, Matt in San Francisco just. Thank you, Matt, for writing back in. We know you're safe. Matt said, everyone hates a dangling participle. Well, I know I did.
Tracy,
we needed this. We needed this.
Because, see, radio people don't always realize the way that it affects people. We're just doing bits, okay? But the people out there listening can actually, if they're driving, you know, anything, mayhem can ensue. So I'm glad you're all right and your little charge in the back seat.
Oh, no. Like I said, I'm fine. He's stupid. What's that joke, you know, my grandfather died peacefully in his sleep. Unfortunately, the other people in the car didn't.
Yeah.
He was screaming.
Exactly.
I know you have to go.
I'm going to go here and... I needed this. I did. And I can't wait to hear the responses from the podcast. By the way, I got to say something about the podcast. And what I got to say about the podcast is Podbean sucks.
Why? What happened?
Well, they've got all of it. You know, I'm closing in on 500,000 downloads at Podbean. Now that's just that's just a drop in the damn bucket compared to it, you know, your pink Shreks out there and whatnot.
Whatever.
Now because greed, I pay not a lot every month for unlimited uploads, and about this time every month they say you've uploaded too much. It reminds me of a story Guy James used to tell, all about how. He and a buddy of his, you know, a guy went to the Ohio State University, and they went into some, like, Italian buffet that was all you can eat, and guy was a big boy, and so was his buddy, and they sat down and proceeded to try to break the place. And after a while, the manager came over, and it was an all-you-can-eat buffet, and he said, you boys going to have to leave. And guy, in that beautiful stentorian baritone bass of his, said, the sign says it's all you can eat. And the manager said, and that's true, you've had all you can eat, get out.
Well, see, here, because people do take, advantage of the all-you-can-eat buffets. And now, here's the thing, if you can still find one, that part. But anyhow, they put, like out here, they put time limits on them. And I think the maximum for some of them is only like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. And it does make sense because, you get people who will be there all day.
Oh, I've been that person. I had enough money to eat once a day when I was at the University of Alabama, and I would go to Ryan's Steakhouse with my script or whatever I was working on, and sit there and study and just eat and eat and eat and eat.
Mm-hmm. Trust. Well, I used to do that when I had enough money saved up that Alex and I could go to all you could eat. Our place was, we would go to Shakey's for lunch for the all you could eat pizza buffet and chicken and mojo potato. And so, yeah, I hate trucks because you can't take, doggy baths or anything like that. Like the sushi place that we go to, they had all you could eat, but they haven't done it since the pandemic. But you had to eat everything. And if you ordered something and you didn't eat it, because if you wasted food, they would charge you whatever the market price was for that sushi roll or whatever it was.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
I made a mistake today. It was in the 5 for $25 section of the meat case at the Wiggling Pig, and I picked up a couple of grocery store California rolls. They were an epic fail, so that's not going to happen twice.
Oh, no, you did not. Well, see, out here you can do that.
Right, because they're making it. No, these are packed.
Yes,
packaged.
They actually have.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, no.
Yeah,
they
that was a big mistake.
Sushi bar. They actually have a legit sushi bar in the grocery stores.
You know what?
Ralph's and Pavilion.
This is kind of a wild thing. It just occurred to me. I have been a vegetarian today.
For real, though?
Yeah. My breakfast was two slices of Texas garlic toast that I toasted and then had mashed and put mashed avocado on.
Mashed?
Mm-hmm. Mashed avocado. And then,
avocado?
Yeah, avocado. And dinner was some of my son's fantastic Brussels sprouts and a few potato logs.
Well, today
wasn't entirely vegetarian because I dipped the potato logs in Thousand Island dressing. And I think there's some eggs involved there.
Well, I actually had chocolate malt milk.
Ooh, that's good.
Because it's a pain to only make one serving of malt meal because of the measurement, but on the stove, but in the microwave, because I have, in all the years that I have been eating malt meal, cream of wheat, and all that, I have never, ever, 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 ever thought about putting it in the microwave. So the other day, I came home, I wanted cream of wheat because I'm trying not to eat, stay away from the honey butter chicken biscuit at Wendy's, which is just too good to be. It's just ridiculously good, and it's annoying. So I'm trying to stay away from that. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna eat some. I'm gonna have cream of wheat. But it's such a pain because it's like 3/4 of a cup of water and 3 tablespoons of the buttermilk or cream of wheat or what have you. And I'm like, that's a pain. And then I noticed that there was the instructions for the microwave. And I'm like, okay, this is not going to work out well. But you know what? It worked.
Oh, I used to do my grits in the microwave.
Well, that's going to be my next trick. But then again, then I'll hear Joe Pesci in my head. My cousin Vinny. It's like, no. No self-respect is not going to use this instant grit.
Oh, hell no. You know, do talking about food, actually, the cooler months of the year, I get egg crazy. And I'll take four eggs and whip them up real good and put a little milk, put a little Parmesan cheese, put a slice of Colby Jack, a slice of cheddar, and nuke those puppies for about 6 minutes, 2 minutes, three times, and stir between nukes. And then serve them with a, you won't like this part, Tracy, a little dab of mayonnaise and salsa on top. Oh, I'm telling you. Oh. If you skip the mayonnaise, the salsa would be plenty for you. But I'm telling you.
You know, find my wife. That'd be real. Some probably good salsa. Okay. You know, if you're going to do that, at least use the sour cream, dude. Seriously? With the salsa instead of fucking mayonnaise.
I'll try it with dick.
Nasty motherfucker.
All right, y'all. Oh, yeah. Before this gets ugly, I'm going to shut this down.
Wait a minute. I think we ought to have a food fight.
You sapped me with Vestal Goodman, so I don't think I've got the stamina for that.
Take my modified T-shirt cannon and load it up with a big old lob of Duke's mayonnaise and aim it right northward and see if we can hit Tracy's car.
You know what, you bastard. You know, that's some fucked up shit, man. You know? This is just another, you see how white people do me. That's okay. You know, I'm used to being treated horribly by white men.
Hey. There is only one grape supremacist in this conversation.
Oh, no, you do not. Wow. Wow. I think you enjoy great supremacists more than giving me shit about the fucking mayonnaise. That's the goddamn reason. See, you know, this is why we can't have nice things. See that article that I sent you? Can black people be friends with white people? See, you know what? Mm-hmm. Right here.
Right here. Yep.
Anyway, I love you. Good night. Be well. And honey, please be able to. I want from now on, because of everything that you do and everything that you are and who you are and everything that you're going through, try to find at least once or twice a week, hopefully up to three or four, to be able to laugh as hard as you did today. I want that for you and for everybody in the Horn, you know, community, family, congregation, but especially for you.
Find time to laugh. It is the best medicine. Reader's Digest told us.
Mm-hmm. Love you guys. And Scott, I forgive you for the mayonnaise crack and all that. I still love you. You make it hard.
And I'm so happy that
you make it incredibly hard.
I'm so happy that you avoided any turmoil on the highways and byways.
Especially since I'm driving white kids. I can't, you know, that's the last thing. The niggas just killed my white children. And
and before we go, just one thing to bring in here, because Darlene mentioned this earlier and it deserves mention. You know, we started off the program talking about who will be the new Supreme Court nominee. Darlene's been digging, talking about Ketanji Brown Jackson. Not sure about this pick. Harvard educated. Get this, endorsed by none other than Paul Ryan, to whom she's related by marriage.
No. Did I yell?
Yeah, Eddie Munster, the granny starver.
One of the names they mentioned was Eiffel. Is that Gwen Eiffel's sister or cousin or somebody?
Now, I don't know the answer to that one.
I'm pretty sure it is. I can't think of her first name, but I'm pretty sure that's Gwen Eiffel's sister.
Well, but Ketanji Brown Jackson actually filled the seat that was vacated by Merrick Garland when he became Attorney General. and didn't do much.
Hasn't done shit. I'm sorry, did I say that out loud?
There goes that inner monologue again.
So she hasn't been a federal judge for more than, what, 8 or 10 months?
Right. The others are Judge Leandra Kruger from the California Supreme Court, Judge Leslie Abrams-Gardner, U.S. District Court in Georgia, and Judge J. Michelle Childs of the U.S. District Court in South Carolina. She was confirmed 53 to 44, and Lindsey Graham voted for, as did Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski.
Somebody get that girl a throat lozenger.
She comes out of public schools in Miami, but she graduated from Harvard College. And I'm trying to maybe it'll open here. But related to Paul Ryan by marriage and endorsed by Paul.
Well, the short list that they were talking about on MSNBC when I got up today, this afternoon, with the lady that comes on at 1 o'clock, who used to work at the White House. The name Eifel was given, and I know it isn't Gwen because she's no longer eligible, and I'm pretty sure that her sister's a lawyer, and a damn fine lawyer.
Well, that might be her.
But her name is Eifel. It's not the name that you mentioned. And I don't think Paul Ryan would have anything nice to say about Ms. Eifel.
And just the fact, because, it's at this point, about people who are Republicans and stuff like that, whether I will even have anything to do with a Republican at this point, because if you're, you could be the greatest, nicest, sweetest person in the world, but if you are still voting Republican and still claim to be a Republican, then I can't with you. I cannot. You could be a never Trumper all you want, but you're still voting the Republican ticket. You're still holding on to their ideology, and that makes you complicit.
Well, you're and Republican
they're
friendly.
Still duggery.
Republican
right?
Friendly.
It's like I can't. And you stupid motherfucker, do you not see me stopping?
Oh, talking.
Sorry,
talking to the traffic. I understand.
Oh no, it's just the light is okay. You drive, Robin. So what? When you see the light turning red, do you not just slow down? Because the light is turning red, so
right,
you
well,
slow down.
And more importantly, yellow does not mean floor it.
Right.
Right. But this, well, maybe because she's blasting her music and probably texting. Can you hear that bullshit? So she's and driving a Range Rover. So it's like she damn near rear-ended me because, and so it's like, bitch, pay a fucking attention. But I'm kind of mad that she didn't rear end me because I mentioned that she is driving a Range Rover. And I just would have fell out the car. My neck, I'm on the anyway, okay, I gotta go.
All right, we're going to roll.
I love you.
Love y'all.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later. Love you. Bye.
Here we are at the end of the program. What a night. Oh, my heavenly days. Some prayer meeting. And we got stuff to catch up with tomorrow. Book banners and Rittenhouse fanboys and all kinds of stuff yet to be dealt with. But thank you, each and every one of you. Thank you to our subscribers at Patreon and PayPal. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. I guess the fundraising goal tomorrow will be some 768 We'll find a way. And there went the program. I done disappeared. All right, we're back. Don't know what happened there. Anyway, thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers, a la carte contributors. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time on this planet, engaging in this long-running conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. No idea what just happened to the stream, Randy Radar. No idea whatsoever. It was there and then it wasn't. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Please reach out to your member of the House of Representatives and ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. And again, remember, Podbean's a hot mess until the first day of the month, which will be Tuesday. So you got to go to whiterosesociety.org to get the podcast for the next few days, and that's going to be a booger. Thanks, Podbean. Unlimited download. Yeah, no. Not so much. Anyway, please stay safe. Get your booster, get your vaccine. Do everything you can to avoid this Trump pandemic. Get the best mask you can get. Get your KN95s. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer liberally, often. Keep your social distance. 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And oh mercy, if some woman with 9 foot tall hair comes toward you hollering about how she's looking for a city, avoid that woman like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.